Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 56.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and guests are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Horn. We'd ask our members and our guests joining us today to please stand for the prayer, to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, and then following that, a special treat today for the National Anthem to be sung by three special guests. Representative Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you this day to do our duty to the best of our ability, to debate openly, consider carefully, and cast our votes responsibly. Grant us objectivity. Help us keep balance in the life of this state. Grant us realism so that our reach does not exceed our grasp. Grant us calm so that we make thoughtful decisions. Grant us a sense of duty so that we remain true to the trust placed upon us. Protect those that serve, many far from home and family, some in harm's way. Watch over them, dear Lord. We ask your healing hand be on those that suffer. Hold them close in this time of need or family loss. Cause us to be humble in service to you, O Lord, and to our fellow man. And finally, dear Lord, hold us. Hold all of us in the palm of your hand. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I ask Nicholas Clayton and Christian Heath to please come forward. We'd ask if you would please join us in the national anthem.
Whose broad stripes and
And members, Nicholas is a page with us this week as well. Of course, he was joined with us by his two brothers, Clayton and Christian. They're also joined by their father, Jonathan, who's in the gallery. Jonathan, where are you? Back here in the back. We're glad to have you with us today, sir. Thank you. And Representative Jarvis, thank you for having these young men with us today. They did a great job. I know you're very proud of them, and I know their father's very proud of them. Thank you all for being with us today. Representative Lewis is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for May 6 has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for May 6 to be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Also, our nurse of the day today is Melanie Godwin from Polkton, North Carolina. Melanie, good to have you with us today. Appreciate it. Messages from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Senate Bill 208, Committee Substitute Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to prohibit local regulation of the size and height of certain non-commercial signs placed outside the right-of-way of private property with the permission of property owner.
Rules Counted Operations of the House. Mr. Clerk, we will we're going to suspend on the message from Senate. We'll pick those up when we take a break in just a moment. Members, we're going to go ahead and move on to the calendar today. House Bill 420, the clerk will read.
Representatives Montgomery, Lambert, Conrad, and Terry. House Bill 420, a bill to be entitled an act to modify the process of filing vacancies in school councils of the city of Winston-Salem, General Center of North Carolina, and acts.
Gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a simple bill with support of Forsyth County delegation to address an issue that arose from the City Council on how they fill vacancies, as well as to update a few provisions in the charter for the City of Winston-Salem. Ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question before the House. Passage of House Bill 420 on second reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 420 having passed second reading. Will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, an act.
Question before the House. Passage of House Bill 420 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 420 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 1002, the clerk will read.
Representative Rogers. House Bill 1002, a bill to be entitled an act to expand the use of continuous alcohol monitoring systems as punishment imposed for certain impaired driving convictions. General Assembly of North Carolina, an act.
Further discussion, further debate on third reading? Not the question for the House. It's passage of House Bill 1002 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Following members wish to record: Insco, Jarvis, Grange, Horn, Horn, aye. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 110 having voted in the affirmative, 5 in the negative. House Bill 1002 passes third reading. Ordered and enrolled or engrossed and sent to the Senate. Members, we have a school group with us here in the gallery. We have a group of students from Pilot Mountain Elementary School from Surrey County up here on the right, I believe. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Thanks for being with us. And the Surrey County representative is Sarah Stevens right here, and also Kyle Hall right there. So those are your to you represent us from Surrey County. So, thanks for being with us today. House Bill 118. Clerk will read.
Representatives Warren and Corbin and Dwayne Hall and Potts. House Bill 118, a bill to be entitled in action to direct the Department of Transportation to study the need for interstate access improvement to access to responders for the benefit of public safety. General Assembly, North Carolina.
Gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a very simple bill. It's about a paragraph long. It simply requires DOT to, in its different divisions, to work with the first responders in those respective divisions to look for any opportunities for crossovers or easier access to interstates or roads to help them, help facilitate them getting to an emergency situation a lot quicker. DOT had asked for an extension of time to do the study. We actually gave them a year longer than they had asked for, and appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 118 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Hastings wish to record. Representative Insko wish to record. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 117, having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 118 passes second reading. Will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 118 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 118, having voted in the third, on having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 144, the clerk will read.
Representatives Corbin, Torbett, Hollister, and Pierce, House Bill 144, a bill to be entitled an act making unlawful the operation of vehicle in public street, highways, or public vehicular area while engaging in distracted behavior. General Assembly, North Carolina, and I.
Gentleman from Macon, Representative Corbin, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, members. This has been kind of a long journey getting here with this, about a year's worth of work. I'd like to thank my co-sponsors Hardister, Torbett, and Pierce for their hard work on this. This bill went through transportation, judiciary, and rules, so most of you have heard this. I'm not going to be very long, plus I want my other primaries to be able to speak to it. There is no organized opposition to this bill that I'm aware of. We've gotten all positive responses from, I won't read the list, but it's a long, long list of groups, Sheriff's Association, City Police, and the list goes on that support this. Also, members of the public, your constituents poll about 85 to 87% positive on this all across the state. That's across party lines and gender and economic background. With that said, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to defer to some of my co-sponsors, please.
For what purpose, jump from gas and Representative Torbett rise.
Speak on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Gentlemen, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House. Ladies and gentlemen, we hold a lot of first for transportation. We're second only to Texas on length road miles. We're resurfacing more miles than ever. We got more projects going than ever. Our ports, and if y'all are paying any attention, our ports just got rated again as the fastest growing ports in the country at Wilmington. We got a lot of good things going, but we're also ranked high in one that's not good. And that is we're real high in fatalities on secondary roads. And we have to fix that. We absolutely have to fix that. We're addressing it as we can through widening of streets and roads. But one thing we can do is to support this bill. It's proven in other states where this has been enacted that it has saved lives. And if we can reduce those fatalities, I mean, if that's all we did up here, that'd be yeoman's work. I appreciate a vote green. I'm voting green. Hope you are as well.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, rise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the primary sponsor of this bill, I just want to speak and say that I think this is a step in the right direction. I will concede that the bill is probably not perfect in its current form. We're still working on that. The bill's actually been amended several times. We're on our second or third PCS at this point in time. But what we're trying to do here is solve a legitimate issue related to public safety. What's happened is cell phones have become more common. People are using them more often in the car. A lot of people do it. And I want to be clear that the vast majority of our citizens are responsible. They try to do the right thing. They're certainly not trying to be irresponsible. But it is a public safety issue. And the results are there. Other states, I believe there's somewhere between 15 to 20 other states that have done this. and they've all seen a decrease in traffic fatalities. And I'm not trying to get emotional, but the fact is, it really is a public safety issue. People have lost their lives because of distracted driving. Very often that involves the use of a cell phone, which could not only be texting, but in some cases watching a video on their phone. That's what we're trying to address here. We're certainly not trying to criminalize behavior. We're trying to change behavior. We don't want to criminalize anyone, but we want to change behavior so that people are not engaging in activity that puts not only themselves but others at risk. And I would encourage you to support the bill. Thank you.
For what purpose does the Lady from Mecklenburg Representative Logan rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does the gentleman from Macon yield to the Lady from Mecklenburg?
I yield.
He yields.
I noticed you said to, about you had other extenuating to the bill. I lost my thoughts, but circumstances to the bill.
Man, I didn't understand the question.
Other extenuating circumstances.
Does the lady wish to address another question? Gentleman, does the gentleman yield?
Yes.
Extenuating circumstances or to the bill?
Yeah. Answer, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman's recognized.
Yes, we put a whole section in there. If you read down about halfway through the bill, Representative Hardister did that. There's several exceptions there, emergency personnel, emergency situations, all those kind of things we felt like we addressed with that.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to debate the bill.
Please recognize debate the bill.
Just say, other than it just being straight out a hands-free bill, there's already laws that would address law enforcement stopping if it would pertain to, like, reckless driving or anything else for motorists to be stopped. There's already laws that would say to stop vehicles for reckless driving, that for anything pertaining to vehicles for unsafe movements, reckless driving, that an officer would not particularly look for someone to be using a phone that would not carry any points or insurance points or anything like that. So I would look to see why the law would not just be hands-free only and would carry more of a severe punishment for the number of people who are being killed on the highways as a result of talking on the phones. And phones uses does, because of distracted driving law that is in place in North Carolina, that hands-free, just talking on the phone, goes into road rage incidences that occur on highways, that people sit and use the phones and don't pull right off from traffic lights, and people are aggravated from that and have gone up and knocked on the windows of cars because people have been using the phones. People are driving and not paying attention to what they're doing on the roadways and not using proper lane usage because of roads. And it was just stated by NHTSA several years ago that the use of cell phone usage on the highways have caused an unbelievable number of deaths on the highways that man had not have seen in the years to come. So I argued that this should have just, could have been just a hands-free law only with more severe penalties other than what we've seen like in other states, and what would deter people more from wanting to use the phones in their motor vehicles. And that comes from being a law enforcement, and just like the other representatives have stated, from going to seeing people, the results of what cars have done to people out here on the highways, people going through the windshields and losing their lives and having to go to homes and delivering the messages to families, and then, you know, telling them that, you know, they were on the phone. And it's hard, and most people have said, well, I just talked to them on the phone, and not trying to take people's And we say it so many times that, you know, saying people can't do these things, but it's just not, you're not supposed to be talking on the phone in a car. You're supposed to talk on the phone at home, and you're supposed to drive a car, and that's what it's for, to drive to get you from point A to point B. And it's just not safe to do things like that in a motor vehicle. And so I ask you to reconsider this bill, and I thank you for this time.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Scotland, Representative Pierce, rise?
Speak on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman recognized, debate the bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, some years ago I had the opportunity to file a bill, no texting while driving, and that, as we all know, that became state law. And I know many argue about the fact that it's not really being enforced, but what this bill does is just change habits. I think all of us in here, when we took driver's education, we were taught the 10 and 2, that you know that all hands should be on the steering wheel at all times. As a former state trooper, Logan, made that statement, it's a sad commentary when you have to go to someone's home to let them know that their daughter, their son, their family member is deceased based on a highway fatality. So I hope that we will all really consider this. All of us have family members, and I think we would really be disappointed if we sat here today and really not take this bill serious. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would ask you just take it seriously. Let's give it an opportunity. Let's just try to change habits on the highways. All of us are busy. Many of us legislators, I know we do it, if the truth be told. But let's look at it seriously today and see just what we can do to change the habits on the highways in the state of North Carolina. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, colleagues.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Bumgarner, rise?
To debate this bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill is the cousin of the license plate reader and the bill to make it illegal to text and drive, which it's already illegal to do. Pretty soon, we'll outlaw cell phones totally. Right now, we're just telling you when and where you can use one or not. So this bill is about either the government's going to get in your car and ride around with you and watch what you're doing, or not. So you have the choice to decide whether you want to support more government control over people's lives or not. So vote on that basis. And thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise?
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has floor. Debate the bill.
This really is the cousin of those bills. If you look at the wording on this bill, it's very vague. Distractions. It's so vague that it's hard to determine exactly what it is that you can be ticketed for, what it is you can be pulled over for. Look, we all understand that talking on a cell phone and driving is unsafe. If we have the courage to pass a bill, and I'm not advocating this, but I'm saying if we have the courage to fix the problem, then let's pass a bill that says no using a cell phone while the vehicle's moving. End of story. But to pass something like this, okay, to try and placate all of the people who had problems with earlier versions, this thing is so vague that it leaves it up to the police officer to determine whatever it is he wants to determine. That's not how we do laws. That's not how we've ever done them. We are always very specific. It also leaves out, exempts a bunch of folks on there, law enforcement and fire departments and this and that, because we all know that for them, talking on the cell phone is safer and it won't cause any accidents. But for us little people, it's different. I mean, it just makes no sense. And then to say utility companies, to exempt them, so the utility trucks can drive around, they can talk on their phones, but you cannot. The citizen cannot. I mean, it's ridiculous. Let's either pass a bill that says no speaking on the phone while the vehicle's in motion, or let's not pass the bill. But I'm hoping that you will not pass this bill. And there was a comment made yesterday about being condescending and talking about the Constitution. I will always talk about the Constitution, and I will never, I'm never intending to be condescending. But I'll tell you, if I have to bring up the Constitution each and every time that we have an issue like this, well then that means we're not following it. And to say that we know the Constitution is not the same as saying that we are following the Constitution. So I ask you this, if we want to do something like this, let's vote this bill down and let's submit a bill that restricts the phone use, period. If we've got the courage, if you've all got the courage to do that, then let's do that. But let's not pass something so vague, okay, that it's unenforceable, and I'll tell you, even a bad lawyer will be able to get his client out of this one. And some of you in here know that. I ask you to vote against that bill, this bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
Speak on the bill. The
gentleman's recognized. Debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I see this as just another nanny state overreach bill. And I'll tell you my personal relationship to this. Sunday, April 12th, 2015, for reasons which I will not discuss here, my son Graham decided to drive out to Moore Mountain State Park where he and his wife had gotten married and kill himself. Law enforcement was informed and they were in pursuit. My son's father-in-law tried repeatedly to call me and let me know what was going on. I'd cut my phone off during church so it wouldn't interrupt the service. I had not thought to cut it back on after church, and we went out to a restaurant to eat with some friends. I was closer to Moore Mountain State Park than my son was when he left home. If I had known that somebody was calling me and had answered the phone, I'm not sure that I would not have had an opportunity maybe to get there ahead of him and possibly stop him from what he was doing. He even passed by the restaurant where I was, and I didn't know it. I didn't know what was going on because I had my phone off. Well, if this law had been passed, I'd have heard the phone ringing while we were driving to that restaurant, and I probably would not have answered it because it would be against the law. So any possible chance that I might have had to help my son that day was taken away because I didn't have my phone turned on and could have been taken away because a law like this had been passed. Who might it be next time? Next time my cell phone rings and I'm driving, could it be my wife? Could it be my other son? One of my grandchildren? In an emergency situation, I can't respond because I don't know about it because I can't answer my phone. Lord, strike me down if I vote for this bill.
For what purpose does the lady from Carteret, Representative McElrath, rise?
To speak on the bill.
Please recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you all, and I'm sorry and to speak after that. I am against this bill, and not for the libertarian reasons or those reasons. I'm against it because I'm a mother and a grandmother. And if I get a call, and I'm a poor person that doesn't have Bluetooth in my car, and my child's calling me, or my grandchild's calling me, in the middle of the day, I'm going to have to obey the law and pull off the side of the road. And then pull back into I-40 traffic, or I-95 traffic. How many of our kids are going to do that when they're used to using cell phones. That's their lifeline. How many of them are going to pull off the side of the road when their friend calls, and then pull back on? These kids don't have Bluetooth in the cars, most of them. I think we're creating a bigger problem than what we're trying to solve. I just feel that pulling off the side of the road, especially on a two-lane road, where we said a lot of these accidents happen, is more dangerous than having a cell phone up to your ear. I hope you'll think about that.
For what purpose, gentleman from Rutherford, Representative Rogers, rise.
This bill...
Gentleman's recognized. Debate the bill.
I'm sorry. I apologize. It's not an overreach, but it also doesn't do anything. It's a feel-good bill. It would be against the law to use your cell phone only if it results in reckless driving. Reckless driving is already against the law. So while it's not an overreach, it's also just a feel-good bill, which we do cookie bills that are feel-good bills as well. But the bill does, it really does nothing. So if it makes you feel good to vote for it, vote for it. If you don't. But it doesn't have any effect on whether you can drive with your cell phone or not.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson, rise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman asks for debate the bill.
Members, sometimes when we get in a hurry, we make a mistake. And we have made a big mistake in this bill, and it's a traffic attorney's best friend now. And here's what I mean. Please look at the penalty section of this bill. This bill carries no, one of the big deterrents in traffic law is insurance points. This bill carries no driver's license points on your record and no insurance points. Here's what I would do if I had a client charged with reckless driving. I would go to the assistant district attorney in the courtroom and say, in lieu of pleading my client guilty to reckless driving or responsible to reckless driving, let me plead him to 137.3A, which is reckless driving, a form of reckless driving. They would let me do that. I would then have my client not have any insurance points or any driver's license points for what is serious driving. When you charge someone with reckless driving, that is a very serious traffic offense. But this is a loophole right now, the way it is written. It is a loophole for someone who is driving very, very dangerously to essentially walk out of court with no insurance points and no driver's license points. What we need to do here is put this bill back in J committee and fix it. It's got a big legal loophole right now. And if we vote for this, we're making a big mistake. Mr. Speaker, can I make a motion?
Gentleman's recognized for a motion.
I move that we remove this bill from today's calendar and put it back in the J committee.
The gentleman from Cumberland has moved that the bill be removed from today's calendar and referred to committee. Members wish, does the gentleman desire to debate the motion any further?
I think I just did, in the interest of time.
Gentleman from Macon, Representative Corbin, desire to debate the motion. The gentleman's recognized.
Just to speak to the motion?
The gentleman's recognized to debate the motion.
Yes, I appreciate the comments, and quite frankly, I agree with you. I would remind you it goes to the Senate from here, and that's one of the things that we actually had that, if you remember reading the original bill, that was in there, and it was kind of taken out through the process. But we would agree to talk to Senate. Matter of fact, three of our colleagues over there are insurance agents like me, and would be in agreement with that. So we will definitely communicate that to them, and that can be done there before it comes back here.
Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir. Gentleman's recognized to further.
May I ask the rules, the bill sponsor question?
Gentleman from Macon yield to the gentleman from Cumberland.
I yield.
He yields.
I remember now you're assuring me that you're going to fix this in the Senate.
Yes.
I'll withdraw.
Gentleman with wish to withdraw his motion. Gentleman's withdrawn his motion. For what purpose does the gentleman from Davidson, Representative Potts, rise?
Inquire of the bill sponsor or one of our legal eagles.
First off, does the gentleman from Macon yield to the gentleman from Davidson?
I yield.
He yields.
Representative, on line 14, it says, for the purposes of this section, distracted behavior includes handheld mobile devices. If I'm not driving recklessly, heedlessly, or carelessly, can I be charged because I have my cell phone in my hand?
The way this is written, no. It says and. So it impairs or otherwise restricts the proper operation of the vehicle and results in operation that is careless, reckless, and heedless under conditions that exist. And we talked to Highway Patrol and other law enforcement about this, and they said that they have dozens and dozens of instances where they see people driving carelessly and they know it's because they're on the phone. That would apply to them, and this would give them the ability to stop that behavior, which is a whole point of this, as Representative Hartzler says, is not to be punitive. My hope would be that nobody would get a ticket for this. It just changes behavior. And 19 states. Tennessee became the 19th state last week, I believe, to pass this. And every state that has a few months into this, every single one have shown a decrease in accidents, a decrease in injuries and deaths. And now the Georgia, for example, just had for the first time a decrease in automobile insurance rates, State Farm announced. So, but yes, you're right. Your observation, the words and.
Follow up.
Gentleman yield to additional inquiry?
Yes.
He yields.
Yield.
But I can be charged with distracted driving if I have it in my hand, and I would be if a trooper saw me.
According to this, if you have your phone in your hand and it results in operation that is careless, reckless, or heedless, then you could be charged, yes.
You might follow up.
Gentleman yield to additional inquiry?
I'm reading online 13-14 that says, for the purposes of this section, distracted behavior includes the use of a handheld telephone and the use of an electronic device, which says it's distracted driving. There's no and in that part except the additional one.
What that is referring to is naming a mobile phone by name and then a handheld electronic device. People have iPads and other things. So that was specifically mentioned to kind of point those out.
Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Kadapa, Representative Adams, rise?
Debate bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
You know, probably the biggest value of this thing is the headlines. Frankly, I think that's very valuable. Right now, we have the abuses of using not just cell phones, but other electronic devices and automobiles. And I think that if the headline tomorrow is that the North Carolina House passes this bill, it's going to get people's attention, particularly parents who say to their children, hey, there's a new law. Don't use your cell phone in your car, even though it's got to go to the Senate. Even though it hasn't been made into law, the headline will be important to parents all over North Carolina. So I'm going to vote for the bill, and I hope it will be corrected, made better over time. But, you know, I've been here a couple of terms now, and I haven't seen the perfect bill yet. Thanks.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, rise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has for debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, I've been here a long time. I've served with a lot of great members, people like Julia Howard, people like Mickey Michaud. One of the greatest members I've ever served with is Martin Nesbitt from Buncombe County. And I can recall my first term sitting back there. He was right there where Representative Ray is, and he stood up and we're allowed 15 minutes to talk, and he talked for 14 minutes and 45 seconds about how bad a bill was, and in the last 15 seconds he said, but it's the best bill we got before, so we need to vote for it. Here's what I'm going to tell you all. What I'm hearing today from some of my friends is this bill is not strong enough, so doing nothing, which is what's going to happen if the bill's defeated, is better than doing something. And I hear from other of my friends, oh, it's the nanny state intrusion, so let's do nothing. Again, I will say to you, in this case, doing nothing is worse than doing something. And the doing something that we have the ability to do today goes exactly to what the gentleman from Catawba was just saying. This will bring heightened awareness to people. It already has. I'm already more cognizant when I'm in my own car about not responding to whatever ridiculous tweet Representative Jackson has just put out. I don't do that in my car anymore. This bill is having a positive effect on the people. It's having a positive effect on the way we think. We need to vote for this bill. We need to support this bill sponsor who has carried this thing and carried this important issue since the start of session, and let him continue to work on this bill in the Senate. It's time to vote on this bill.
Gentlemen, wish to be recognized for a motion.
As a matter of fact, Mr. Speaker, I move the previous question.
Gentlemen's moved the previous question. Debate on House Bill 144. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Reeves, Representative Black, members wish to vote on the previous question motion. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 77 have voted in the affirmative, 38 in the negative. The motion is adopted. Neither majority leader or minority leader desire debate. It looks like they've passed. Therefore, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 144 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Five members wish to vote. Representative Brockman. Clerk lock machine record the vote. 89 having voted in the affirmative, 26 in the negative. House Bill 144 passed second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, desired to debate the bill.
Yes, sir.
Gentleman is recognized.
Senator Dan, I want to call two names on the floor. One is the name of Darrell Reynolds, and the other is the name of Isaiah Reynolds. Two individuals, one 15-year-old and the other 11, in 2010 were killed in Greensboro, North Carolina, as they were traveling with their mother in the car. Their brother, Jared, was also in the car with them. He today still suffers from traumatic brain injury. And it was Mother's Day weekend, and they were traveling. And I felt the need to stand to speak today because I stand as their pastor. And so I had to sit with a mother who lost two of her children because a driver was on a cell phone and plowed through cars parked on the highway. And thankful for representation that Representative Del Falwell and Senator Pete Brunstad at that time came to this body and asked for this body to move forward with stricter laws. And that's where we began to have the conversations around distracted drivers and putting penalties in place. Because the woman who was driving the vehicle at that time, she was sentenced to 75 days in jail. She received a $750 penalty and an 18-month suspended license. Grateful that Janet, the mother of these two children, and her father said that they had grace and they didn't want her to be incarcerated because they knew that she didn't do it on purpose. But the penalty itself did not align with the fact that now today a mother goes without two of her children. That a mother today has to ensure care for the rest of the life of one of her children because he has traumatic brain injury. Today I say and I ask and I will stand with Representative Corbin to make sure that if this bill goes over to the Senate, that we fix this because of Isaiah and because of Darrell. They deserve to have better penalties in place for this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 144 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 144, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose, gentlemen from Mecklenburg, Representative Majeed, rise?
Change my vote, sir.
How's the gentleman wish to be recorded?
House Bill 1002, yes.
The gentleman be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill 1002. House Bill 205, the clerk will read.
Representative Torbett, House Bill 205, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the law governing the procedures in determining the amount of property damage to a motor vehicle liability for coverage of a claim that is not in dispute. General Assembly of North Carolina.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. And I want to start off by being as respectful as I dearly can to my colleagues in the chamber that are attorneys. This, my friends, is not a jobs bill for an attorney. I mean, this is trying to get at helping North Carolina consumers. The reason for this change is insurance carriers are rejecting every umpire ruling, putting an undue burden on accident victims when it comes to determining diminished value on your automobile. The reason for this statute is to avoid that litigation. Multiple insurance companies, by rejecting the umpire ruling, are forcing claimants to file suit, which is counterproductive and opposite of why the statute last year that we all passed was created. This fills a loophole in that law last year, and consumers are harmed by the loophole that was created. I would appreciate a strong vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'll stand for any questions.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 205 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. If all members wish to vote, Representative Bumgarner, Warren, Quick, Meyer, Montgomery, Galliard. Clerk light machine record the vote. 89 having voted in the affirmative, 27 in the negative. House Bill 205 passes second reading. Will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina, aye.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 205 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 205, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Members, please join the chair in welcoming a group of students here with us today from Hayworth Christian School in High Point. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Thanks for being with us today. Thank you. Representative for High Point is Representative John Faircloth. Is there any other member that represents High Point? And Representative Brockman also represents High Point as well. So those are your two representatives. House Bill 221, the clerk will read.
Representatives Setzer, Bumgarner, and Corbin, House Bill 221, a bill to be entitled to act to amend insurance rate making laws as recommended by the Department of Insurance. General Assembly, North Carolina, and Act.
Jump from Catawba, Representative Setzer, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you don't mind, would you recognize Representative Stevens for her amendment?
Glad to do that. Lady from Surrey is recognized. Send forth the amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Stevens moves to amend the bill on page 2, lines 7 through 13 by rewriting the line to read.
Please recognize, debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And members, this just removes section 3, which defines conviction. For insurance points, conviction is somewhat defined a little differently. You're usually given an excuse for your first offense, and you're also given an excuse for one prayer for judgment continued. And a prayer for judgment continued means the court may have found you guilty, but they didn't enter the judgment. To leave this section in would remove that provision that we frequently do to help people with their insurance.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk lock machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative, the amendment's adopted. Gentleman from Catawba, desire further debate on the bill?
It's just, no, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to say it's an agency bill, and now there's no controversy with it that I'm aware of. I appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 221 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Logan, would the member like to vote on the bill? Representative Howard? Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 114, having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. House Bill 221 passed the second reading. Will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina, aye.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 221 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 221, having passed third reading, is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Bill 278, clerk will read.
Representatives Sane, Hardister, Lewis, and Setzer, House Bill 278, a bill to be entitled an act to create a joint study committee on priority for first responders to provide a special separation allowance for state and local firefighters and rescue squad workers. General Assembly, North Carolina, and that.
Gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sane, recognized, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll quickly speak on the bill. I do want to give a shout out to the professional firefighters and paramedics of North Carolina We work very hard on this issue. I also want to thank my colleagues yesterday in pensions. It's been a great conversation on this issue. We do not have a resolve at this point, hence the reason for converting this into a study bill, so that we really can look at honest facts and figures from across the state as municipalities want to help deal with this issue, but we understand the cost. What we were hearing yesterday in pensions was find a funding source. So this converts it to a study bill. We'll work on this issue. Our commitment to firefighters is that we will work on it, and this body will continue to do so. I just ask that you support the bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate, not the question before the House. Passage of House Bill 278 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. House Bill 278 passed the second reading. Will without objection. Be right there, Tom.
Johnson is not signing that.
For what purpose, gentlemen, from Guilford? Question before the House. Passage of House Bill 278 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 278 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. Members, we have a school group with us here on my right. A group of students who are here from Rhea View Elementary School in Waxhaw in Union County. Would y'all please stand so we can welcome you? And your representative is Craig Horn, who is standing right here in front of my desk right there. That's Representative Horn. Oh, and Representative Brody also has your area. And then they're the other Union County representatives. I think Waxhaw is actually in Horn's district, but those are the other two Union County representatives as well. Representative Art and Representative Brody. Thank you. For what purpose, gentlemen, from Guilford, Representative Quick Rise.
Mr. Speaker, to be changed to yes on 144.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill 144. For what purpose, gentlemen, from Guilford, Representative Brockman. Okay. Representatives Corbin and Warren recognize and send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Corbin and Warren, State and Local Government Committee Report. House Bill 345, funds for Elizabeth City Homeless Shelter favored and referred to Appropriations and General Government.
Bills referred to the Committee on Appropriations and General Government.
House Bill 458, Henderson Meals Tax favored and referred to Finance.
Bills referred to Finance.
House Bill 505, S.E. Raleigh YMCA funds, favor and re-referred to Appropriations General Government.
Bills referred to Appropriations General Government.
House Bill 530, official N.C. Dogwood Festival, favor and re-referred to Rules Calendar Operations of the House.
Chair strikes serial referral, counter 36B, and without objection to today's counter, so ordered.
House Bill 647, adopt Haywood County Elk Capital of N.C., favor and re-referred to Rules Calendar Operations of the House.
Chair strike zero referral, calendar 36B, and without objection, today's calendar, so ordered. House Bill 338, clerk will read.
Representatives Brockman, Faircloth, Hollister, and Quick. House Bill 338, a bill to be entitled Act to appropriate funds for the John Coltrane International Jazz and Blues Festival. General Senator North Carolina next.
For what purpose, gentlemen, from Guilford, Representative Brockman, rise.
To speak on the bill.
Gentlemen, recognize and debate the bill.
First, I would like to thank my fellow primary sponsors, Representative Faircloth, Representative Hardister, and Representative Quick. I also want to thank my Guilford County delegation, Representative Harrison and Representative Clemens, for agreeing to support this bill. Jazz is authentically American, and John Coltrane is one of the greatest jazz musicians alive, to exist in all time. He was born in North Carolina, and he grew up in High Point. He graduated from William Penn High School, and every single year for the last 8 years, High Point has held a Coltrane Festival in his honor to honor the music that he has created. This bill simply appropriates $500,000 this year and next year for the Coltrane Festival, and I ask for your support. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 338 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. If all members wish to vote on the bill, same, Floyd, Dobson. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 112, having voted in the affirmative, 4 in the negative, House Bill 338 passes second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly will not decline an act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 338 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 338, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose, gentlemen from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
Inquiry of the chair, Mr.
Gentleman is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, you just read in certain few bills. I didn't write them down, but it sounded like they were local bills.
They were both public bills. One was a I believe the official Dogwood Festival, and the other is a Elk Capital.
Okay. Follow it, Mr. Chair.
Gentleman is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, we have a very lengthy agenda. Some of these bills are study bills. You're doing a good job of carrying them through. But if we can take those first, we can move along. And
we're going to keep rolling. I think we'll be fine. House Bill 347, the clerk will read.
Representatives Morey, Horn, McGrady, and Harrison, House Bill 347, a bill to be entitled to enact direction to Juvenile Judicial Advisory Committee to study modifying the definition of delinquent juvenile and undisciplined juvenile and include only juveniles of at least 10 years of age. General Assembly, North Carolina.
Lady from Durham, Representative Morey, recognized, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And members, I appreciate the original sponsors of this bill, Representatives McGrady, Horn, and Harrison. Quite simply, this is a study bill, and it is to study what is the age of capacity for juveniles to be in delinquency court. North Carolina is currently the youngest state by statute of age 6, and there's some concerns 6-year-olds do not have the mental capacity to understand court proceedings, much less the Delinquency Act. So this is simply a study bill to be done by the Juvenile Justice Advisory Board, reporting back to the General Assembly March 1st of 2020. Appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 347 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Lofton, Representative Farmer Butterfield, members like to vote. Clerk lock machine record the vote. 113, having voted in the affirmative, 3 in the negative. House Bill 347 passes second reading. Will without objection. You read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina and Acts.
What purpose, gentlemen from both? Representative Kidwell, rise.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to change my vote on 278 to aye.
Gentlemen be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill 278. For what purpose, the lady from Wake, Representative Holly, rise.
I'd like to change my vote to 144 to aye.
On 144, ma'am? Okay, related will be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill 144. Question for the House, passage of House Bill 347 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 347, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose, gentlemen from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to change my vote on House Bill 144 to aye. Representative Lewis' comments got me so excited I pushed the wrong button.
Jamis, be recorded as voting aye on House Bill 144. House Bill 348, the clerk will read.
Representatives Grange, Conrad, Hannig, and Richardson, House Bill 348. A bill to be entitled an act providing that the city shall adopt rules and regulations encouraging employers to report improper or unlawful activities requiring cities to protect employees who report such activities from retaliation or other discriminatory action. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Grange, would the lady prefer to debate the bill now, or does the lady prefer that Representative Faircloth send the amendment forward
present
first?
Present the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
The we'll recognize Representative Faircloth to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Faircloth moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 23.
Gentlemen, recognize the debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is simply on line 23, replacing the word ordinance with binding policy, just to correct, have the right phrase there.
The lady from New Hanover desired to debate the amendment. Please recognize.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. This is a friendly amendment, and I ask for your green vote.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House, the adoption of the amendment sent forward by Representative Faircloth. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 115 have voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The amendment's adopted. The lady from New Hanover, Representative Grange, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill protects city employees from retaliation and requires cities that do not have a binding policy in place that would prevent retaliation from whistleblowers to put one in place. And I ask for your green vote.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose does the lady from Johnson, Representative White, rise?
Mr. Speaker, to speak to the bill.
Ladies recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you. I just want to thank the sponsors of this bill. It's this House passed a similar bill last year or 2 years ago, 113-1, I think. I would hope that you would give this same support to this bill. Thank you.
For what purpose, John from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise?
Let's see if the bill sponsor would respond to a question.
Lady from New Hanover, yield to the gentleman from Craven.
I yield.
She yields.
On line, hang on 1 second, I lost my place. Line 25, it says, including prohibiting retaliation against the employee, discharging the employee. How long is their protection against being discharged? How long does that last? In other words, can they just wait 90 days and then fire them?
That doesn't seem to be specified. But if they're fired because they reported something that was illegal, there shouldn't be a retaliation.
Speak on the bill, please.
Gentlemen, recognize, debate the bill.
I think this is a good bill, and I generally support it. I do have a problem with that one little portion right there, because the question remains, can they be fired 30 days later, 90 days later? Can they make up an excuse 90 days later to cut them loose for something, make it appear as if it's unrelated? I know that in federal law, they have, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the time frame is a year, that you can't be cut loose for a year after a whistleblower event unless it's something super egregious that can be proven. So I would just suggest that at some point, you know, that we look at putting a specific time frame in here. Other than that, I think it's a good bill.
For what purpose, Jim from Brunswick, Representative Isler, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Lady from New Hanover, yield to the gentleman from Brunswick.
I yield.
She yields.
Just curious, this is for city employees. Counties are not included. Are they already covered, or is this something we
need
to work on?
Did you say who's not included?
Counties.
Counties are not included. It's for cities, and the definition of city includes village and town.
Follow-up.
Lady yield to additional inquiry.
Are we aware if counties are included in other legislation already, or for this?
Not that I'm aware.
Thank you.
This only applies to cities.
For what purpose, gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren Rice.
Speak to the bill.
Gentleman's recognized. Debate the bill.
Now, first of all, I'd like to thank the bill sponsor for taking the time to review the bill and make the changes that she made. But to Representative Speciale's concerns, I thank him for bringing that forward. But typically, most HR departments, particularly in a municipality, is going to have a progressionary system set in place for write-ups. So it'd be unlikely that somebody wouldn't be fired for just cause, but if they were, particularly with an incident like a whistleblower incident in their past, I think it would maybe set the stage for a lawsuit. So I'm not really concerned about that. I like the bill and encourage others to vote for it.
For what purpose, lady from New Hanover, Representative Grange, rise?
To debate the bill a second time.
Lady is recognized to debate the bill a second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill directs cities to come up with their policy, so it is up to them to put a policy in place. So if we are going to dictate every facet of their policy, we might as well write a law or pass a bill that tells them how to do that. We're trying not to micromanage the cities.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 348 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk lock machine record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, 1 the negative. House Bill 348 passed the second reading. Bill without objection. Here a third time.
Joe Simmons, North Carolina.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 348 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 348 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate and is ordered engrossed. Members, we have another school group with us here today. Have a group of students from Marvin B. Smith Elementary School in Burlington. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Thanks for being with us. Your representative from Burlington is Representative Steve Ross right down here. Steve, wave to him so they'll know who you are. Representative Ross, right here. Also, Representative Riddell represents Alamance County. He's coming around beside him there. So those are your two representatives for Alamance County. Thank you all for being with us today. House Bill 387, the clerk will read.
Representatives Arp, Zoka, Lewis, and Hunter, House Bill 387, a bill to be entitled Electric Co-op Rural Broadband Services, Jonesville, North Carolina.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to first, sort of all, thank, we had 89 co-sponsors on this bill, so it's a great support there. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Representative Zoka and Lewis, and Representative Hunter. This bill is a major step forward in putting rural broadband efforts to practice. Can't tell you how many times we've heard people say to expand broadband, just use what's in the ground. Can we remove barriers to do that? House Bill 387 will allow the state's electric cooperatives to seek federal grant money to provide broadband services and allow them to add fiber optic networks for rural broadband using their existing infrastructure. The vast majority of rural areas in the state have zero or just one option for basic broadband access. Given electric cooperatives extensive existing infrastructure and their knowledge of the community needs, they are best positioned to deliver high broadband internet speed options, and they can render it quickly and efficiently. So this bill does two things: removes barriers and allows those partnerships to form, and protects against some of the downside risk. Be glad to open up for any questions, but I'd ask for your vote.
For what purpose, gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, rise
to speak on the bill?
Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
Members of the House, this is a good step forward for North Carolina. We are beginning here with this bill, removing barriers and encouraging partnerships so we can have broadband everywhere for everyone, for everything. This is the direction we need to go. I encourage this bill. I would say to you, where we have electricity, we should have high-speed internet. The co-ops were created to bring electricity where electricity was not brought back in the 30s. We need to use every partnership, every avenue to bring high-speed internet to everybody. I recommend this bill, and there are others, partners in trying to get similar things going. Let's work together to take the barriers and develop partnerships and bring high-speed internet to everyone. Thank you.
For our purpose, gentleman from Chihuahua, Representative Goodwin, rise.
Speak to the bill.
Gentlemen's recognized. Debate the bill.
I represent six counties in northeastern North Carolina. Not a single county has broadband service that is dependable. Two or three small towns do have it. The rest of them do not have it. Now, there are small populations. Each county is very small in its population, very small in its tax base. This is the closest thing that we have seen to getting broadband in our area. And we really approve of it being on the co-ops, electric co-ops. One reason we like that is because some of us serve on the co-op boards, so if the co-op doesn't do it right, we'll fire them and replace some of them. But this is an outstanding thing for those six tier one counties where I live, and I hope you will support it. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage. Is the passage of House Bill 387 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Smith of Wayne on the floor. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 115 have voted in the affirmative, one the negative. House Bill 387 passed second reading. Will without objection.
Mr. Speaker.
Be read a third time.
Gentlemen, don't climb in there.
For what purpose? The lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise.
I was hoping to speak to the bill.
The lady is recognized to debate the bill on third reading.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to explain my no vote, and I was hoping to do that before the vote happened. I sat on two of the committees that heard this bill, and I think it's a great bill. Unfortunately, Section 2, constitutional concerns have been raised about the takings language in Section 2, and I just wanted to raise that issue. There's not a severability clause in the bill, so if it gets struck down, then the whole bill dies, and that's why I'm voting no, but I think it's a good bill, and I hope that we can fix that in the Senate. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose, the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson, rise.
Briefly debate.
Gentlemen's recognized. Debate the bill.
Members, Representative Harrison is exactly correct. We need to pass the bill. It needs to go to the Senate. We need to work on the language in Section 2 to make it constitutional. But we need to send it on. But we do have a problem with the language.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Cumberland, Representative Soka, rise.
To debate the bill.
Gentlemen, eyes forward. Debate the bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, the issues just raised have been debated at length, both in committee and with multitudes of attorneys. And I think, if I recall correctly, that what most of our staff attorneys have told us is that nobody can really, in this question, because it's, I'm not an attorney, so I'm just telling you what they said, but it's a new area of law, and only a court can really consider or determine if it's constitutional or not. We made, the sponsors of the bill, the four of us, decided to go with the bill as it currently is because we don't know what a court's going to do. We can guess. We can do all kinds of things. And it really comes down to is if you've got fiber already running underground, is light running in the dark fiber now, is that a taking? Nobody's ever debated that in court. It's not like you have to go dig it up and put down more things. It's already there. In fact, some utilities with smart meters are already running light through there for communication with the smart meters and communicating with their customers like that by email and other means. So this is really new. And when you look at the risk-reward of trying to adjudicate something in a court of law, which we're not, and try and figure out how judges are going to handle this thing, as opposed to let's move forward with the bill. I'm not sure we need to get it fixed in the Senate. I think we just need to pass the bill, let the co-ops do what they want. They have a legion of attorneys that have looked at this. We've worked very closely with all the co-ops. They believe, after looking at case law across the United States, that what we've done is sufficient. So while I respect the opinions of everyone here, I don't want anybody to get the opinion that we're knowingly voting for something that has major constitutional issues, because when it's all said and done, my personal belief is it doesn't. I think the bill's good the way it is, and I ask for your vote.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 387 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 387, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 394, the clerk will read.
Representatives Hollister, Range, Lambert, and Clements, House Bill 394, a bill to be entitled an act to adopt the Moravian cookie as an official state cookie. General Sherman, North Carolina, next.
Gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hollister, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this bill does exactly what the title says. It would make the Moravian cookie the official state cookie. This idea came from Brooks Global Studies, which is a school in Guilford County. A fourth grade class wrote me some letters expressing this as an idea. I thought it was a great idea, so I'd like to thank my fellow co-sponsors, Representative Grange, Lambeth, and Clements, for supporting this. I want to share with you a funny headline that was in the news back home. It said that Oreo suffers blow and chance to be state cookie. So hopefully we can make that a reality today. The Moravians settled in North Carolina in 1753 in Winston-Salem, and they actually began making the Moravian cookies back in the 18th century, and now those cookies have had an amazing economic impact on North Carolina. They're baked, packaged, and distributed across the world, and the Moravians have had a tangible social, cultural, and economic impact on our state. And I'd like to share a couple of the letters I received, if you don't mind, from students in the fourth grade at Brooks Global Studies. The first one says, "Dear Representative Hardister, my name is Caleb Palmer, and I think the Moravian cookie should be the state cookie. My reasons are Moravian cookies originated over 200 years ago. Moravian cookies have been made and sold since the 1950s in Winston-Salem. Moravian cookies date back to the 18th century when settlers from Europe came to America and founded the town of Salem in 1766. One of the highlights of a visit to Old Salem is a stop at the Winkler Bakery, which was built in 1800. Today, the bakery still produces some treats that made it famous over 200 years ago. I hope you'll agree with me and make the Moravian cookie the official state cookie. Sincerely, Caleb Palmer." And one more letter. "Dear Representative Hardister, I think we should have the Moravian spice cookie as our state cookie. The reason I think this is because nearly all Moravian spice cookies are made in North Carolina. Another reason is because Moravian spice cookies have many different types of recipes, and that symbolizes our state diversity. Another reason is that the Moravian spice cookie stands out in a crowd just like North Carolina. Sincerely, Logan Buckley." Members, I'd appreciate your support on this bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, arise?
Speak on the bill.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I noticed that Representative Hardister did not bring any evidence to support his bill. I stand corrected. He does have some. Every Christmas, I make oatmeal cookies with chocolate chips and chocolate chips and pecans, and occasionally I might put almond slivers in them instead of the pecans. They are so good, if I do say so myself, that I believe if my kids came over Christmas and I didn't have those cookies, they would demand that we not open presents until the cookies were made. We jokingly refer to them as my world-famous oatmeal cookies. Since probably just about none of you have had any of my cookies, then you don't know about them, and so I guess they will not be competition for the Moravian cookies on that basis. Plus, I haven't been around 200 years yet. Since the Moravian cookies do have the long history that they have, and they are pretty cotton-picking good, and I can't put mine in competition with them, I'm going to support this bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Nash, Representative Gallagher, arise?
To debate the bill?
You're recognized.
I don't want to start a race war, but being biracial, I think I got to put my vote in for the Oreo. So.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Eiler, arise?
To see if the bill sponsor will yield to a question.
I yield.
He yields.
Representative Hardister, since these bills are all going to be fixed in the Senate, is it possible to possibly add the Moravian sugar cake in the Senate?
I'll take that as a rhetorical question.
Further discussion or debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 394 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 115 voting in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 394 passes its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina, acts.
Question before the House is the passage of House Bill 394 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. And House Bill 394 has passed its third reading and will be sent to the Senate. What purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, rise?
For an announcement.
You're recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I'm pleased to announce that we have cookies here today. Miss Haynes, Moravian cookies are here. They're from Davidson County. They're right out here in room 2305, which is by the principal clerk's office. And we do have a variety, including ginger, sugar, lemon, and walnuts. So have at it. They're right out here.
For what purpose does the gentlelady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, arise?
Mr. Speaker, and I'm looking at the clerk. It's kind of loud. I guess I'm a little overstimulated by the loudness of your tone. And so if we could turn it down a little bit. Possibility. Thank you.
Representative Cunningham, I have no idea where the volume button is up here because I've never done this before, but I'll ask the clerk if he'll turn it down. What is it? House Bill 410, the clerk will read.
Representatives Howard, Setzer, Carney, and Lucas, House Bill 410, a bill to be entitled an act to study requiring nursing homes, combination homes, and adult care homes to have emergency electrical service available for use during power outages. General Assembly of North Carolina, next.
For what purpose does the gentlelady from Davie, Representative Howard, arise?
Speak to the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Ladies recognized.
Mr. Speaker, members of the Assembly, I hate to follow the cookie bill because obviously about two-thirds of our delegates have gone for nourishment, but with that said, after working on the generator bill for the last few months, after we had the severe tragedy in Davie County, it appears that the best option that we have is to take it to a study, and today I have in my hand an article, and it is dated 203, March 4, 203, and it speaks to the time that our speaker, Mr. Moore, tried to run a similar bill, and that was 16 years ago. But it only took us 17 years to get the Medicaid provision removed from the counties. So I am hopeful that we can have a good working committee and we can, it'll be a new starting point to have some of the protections for the most vulnerable and elderly folks in our state of North Carolina. So I ask for your support.
For what purpose does the gentlelady from New Hanover, Representative Butler, arise?
To debate the bill.
Ladies recognize.
I would like to commend all of the bill sponsors. Having endured Hurricane Florence and loss of power, this is incredibly important that we study this. And Representative Howard, I would be pleased to so serve on that committee if allowed. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 410 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 111 voting in the affirmative and one voting in the negative. House Bill 410 passes its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question before the House is the passage of House Bill 410 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. And House Bill 410 has passed its third reading and will be sent to the Senate.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, arise?
I'd like to be recorded as voting aye on House Bill 410.
Gentleman will be recorded as voting aye on House Bill 410. For what purpose does the gentleman from Hertford, Representative Hunter, arise?
To be voted as aye on 410.
Gentleman will be recorded as voting aye. For what purpose does the gentlelady from Guilford, Representative Clemens, arise?
Same.
Lady will be so recorded. For what purpose does the gentleman from Pender, Representative Smith, arise?
Be recorded as voting no on 338.
Gentleman recorded as being as voting no on, is that 380?
338.
338. For what purpose does the gentleman from Davidson, Representative Jarvis, arise?
To be recorded as a aye on 410.
Gentleman recorded as an aye. For what purpose does the gentleman from Vance, Representative Garrison, arise?
To be recorded as aye on 410.
Gentleman recorded as an aye. House Bill 447, the clerk will read.
Representative Zachary and Dixon, House Bill 447, a bill to be entitled in action to define professors' liability for bodies of water and professors' land regarding child trespassers. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Yadkin, Representative Zachary, arise?
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman's recognized.
Okay, under current law, every body of water has the potential to be an attractive nuisance. This bill would exclude wildlife ponds, irrigation ponds, farm ponds, water system reservoirs, unless there is some improvement that would make the body of water more attractive than just what it normally would be. So I would ask for your support. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 447 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Moore of Cleveland will be recorded as aye. Representative Dahl will be recorded as an aye. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 75 having voted in the affirmative and 40 in the negative, House Bill 447 passes its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question before the House is the passage of House Bill 447 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. And House Bill 447 has passed its third reading and will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 460, the clerk will read.
Representatives Grange, Hardister, and Reno Turner, House Bill 460, a bill to be entitled an act to adopt USS North Carolina as the official state battleship. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
For what purpose does the gentlelady from New Hanover, Representative Grange, rise?
To debate the bill.
Ladies recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill was also brought to us by Brooks Global Studies Fourth Grade School. in Guilford County. There have been several naval vessels that have been designated the name North Carolina, several warships. However, there's only one battleship, North Carolina, BB-55. The Battleship Memorial USS North Carolina is one of the premier historic landmarks in our nation and is one of the top tourist attractions in our state. It's nicknamed the Showboat. The USS North Carolina was the first U.S. warship to carry the massive 16-inch guns. It participated in every major offensive naval engagement in the Pacific in World War II, from the battle support at Guadalcanal landings to the final fight for the Japanese home islands. She earned 12 battle stars, making her the highest decorated U.S. ship from World War II. Her story doesn't end with her military service, however. Children from around the state saved and preserved the ship by collecting dimes to bring her home to Wilmington, North Carolina. Today, visitors from all over the world come to Wilmington to see and learn about the Showboat. Thousands of volunteers support the preservation of the ship and continue to tell the story of the sacrifice of our World War II generation. And I ask for your green vote.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, arise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, if you'll indulge me for just a moment, this idea, as Representative Grange mentioned, also came from Brooks Global Studies fourth grade class. I do have two letters I'll read. The first one says, Representative John Hardister, I think that North Carolina should have a state battleship. I think it should be the USS North Carolina BB-55. I think it should be the state battleship because the USS North Carolina Memorial helps make over $1.5 million per year and brings in over 250,000 dollars, or excuse me, 250,000 visitors each year. It fought in World War II in the Pacific. During World War II, the ship got 15 battle stars and the nickname the Immortal Showboat. Therefore, that is why I think that North Carolina should have a state battleship, and also why I think it should be the USS North Carolina. Sincerely, Meyer Broad. And the other letter states, Representative John Hardister, hi, I'm Ben Stewart, and I go to Brooks Global Studies, located in Greensboro, North Carolina. I would like to propose the USS North Carolina battleship as a state symbol, and here are a few reasons why. Over 250,000 people come to visit the state ship each year. Her nickname is Immortal Showboat. It earned 15 battle stars. She helped save the aircraft carrier Enterprise. She participated in all of the naval offenses in the South Pacific. It is now one of 22 National Historic Battleships. The USS North Carolina counts over 3,500 jobs in New Hanover County each year. She brings in $1.5 million-plus dollars in revenue to the state economy. I hope you will consider my suggestion for our new state symbol. Sincerely, Ben Stewart. Members, I'd ask you to support the bill.
For what purpose does the gentlelady from Wake, Representative Dahl, rise?
I rise to change my vote on 447 to a no.
Lady's vote will be changed. For what purpose does the gentleman from Onslow, Representative Shepherd, arise?
Just to speak on this bill, there was something I was going to remind everyone of. You talked about the school children asking that this would be named the official battleship. It was school children that saved pennies in the 1950s to raise the money to bring the battleship to North Carolina. I just want to remind everyone of that as well as a part of our history. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentlelady from Johnston, Representative White, arise?
To speak to the bill.
Ladies recognized.
Again, I would just like to congratulate the bill sponsors for doing this, and I'd also like to say I have a personal relationship with this ship. One, I was one of those school children that raised the money, and two, my father was on that ship in World War II. His name is has a plaque on the ship, and I really appreciate you all doing this. Thank you. Richard Thomas McDowell was his name.
For what purpose does the gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, arise?
Speak on the bill. The
gentleman's recognized.
Thank you. Of course, I support the bill being from Wilmington. Well, what I'd like to tell you about is the last boat that the battleship North Carolina sank. When they were bringing the battleship up Cape Fear River, its engines wouldn't work, so they had to bring it up by tugboat. And at the on the dock in Wilmington, right across where they were going to put it, was a restaurant that was a boat called the Fergus Ark. And they told the owners of the Fergus Arc the way they were going to bring that ship in and turn it to back it into its berth, it was going to hit the Ark and they ought to move it. He wouldn't do it. Sure enough, when that battleship came in, they turned it around, and when they backed it in, it hit the Ark and it sank. Just thought y'all like to know that.
For what purpose does the gentlelady from Guilford, Representative Clemens, arise?
To speak to the bill.
Ladies recognized.
I just wanted to give a congratulations to the students of Brooks Global Studies and thank Representative Harder, sir, and Representative Grange for getting this through quite the process. The Brooks Global was the last school I was pleased to serve as principal in, and so the students who have been quoted here, Meyer, Ben, Caleb, and Logan, were my students, and I'm quite proud of them. And I also like to give great credit to John Phillips, their fourth grade teacher. Each year, our fourth graders do an intense study of North Carolina. They complete a project all year, and these letters came from the great work of a teacher who, like many of our teachers, inspires students across our state. So I'd like to give the students and teacher at Brooks Global great credit, and thank you to the representatives for bringing the bills forward.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torpin, arise?
Speak on the bill, Mr. Speaker. The
gentleman's recognized.
Ladies and gentlemen, members of the House, I'm going to try to take you back briefly just a few years ago around World War II. Pearl Harbor had just been attacked. The smoke from the sunken remains of Arizona still belling out of the water. West Virginia was still beached. The other boats on Battleship Row down in the water. And maybe just perhaps if we were there, we might have been sitting on the sunken and overturned hull of the Battleship Oklahoma. And then one day, you look at the harbor entrance, and in comes the newest class of battleship with the larger 16-inch guns that North Carolina has. And it was our battleship, North Carolina, the first new boat to enter Pearl Harbor after the attack. Needless to say, our men and women in our armed forces were quite struck by the attack at Pearl Harbor, and this one little event in the battleship's history, if you talk to people that were there, raised and elevated the spirits of our nation's warfighters in a time most needed. And for that alone, she needs to have this honor. Thank you very much.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, arise?
Just to speak briefly on the bill,
I
too, like Representative White, raised dimes for restoring this wonderful battleship to Wilmington as a memorial to all the men and women who served in World War II and on this ship. And so I recommend it to you. It just shows you what a thin dime can do from several million kids. It was a wonderful thing at the time, and I encourage you to support this and let us never forget. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Baumgartner, arise?
Speak briefly on the bill. The
gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was one of those kids in the first grade in 1960 when they came around and were talking about the ship was going to be scrapped if we didn't save enough money to buy it. I don't even remember how much money it cost back in those days, but I know it was a real silver dime in those days. It wasn't like the slugs we have to use today, but now when you go back and visit, you can look at the names of the people in the captain's quarters, I believe it is, where a lot of names you'll recognize of people that donated a lot of money in those days to salvage the ship and to bring it to where it is today. And it's a fascinating thing when you see something when you're a child, you don't really fully understand what it is you're looking at. But when you go back and see it many years later, and every time I go back, I learn something I didn't know last time. I've probably visited that ship a dozen times. And so it's a fascinating thing, and I'm happy that it is where it is and preserved.
For what purpose is the gentleman from Davidson, Representative Potts, rise?
See if Representative Floyd is on the floor.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, arise?
I just wanted to know the bill sponsor yield for a question at this point in time.
Representative Grange, do you yield for a question?
I yield.
She yields.
Representative Grange, could you act as representative Lewis, could you supersede him at this particular moment, please?
The chair will say the two folks standing are the only ones with their lights on.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion or debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 460 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 113 voting in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 460 passes its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 460 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes do have it. And House Bill 460 has passed its third reading and will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 613, the clerk will read.
Representatives Fisher and Dobson, House Bill 613, a bill to be entitled Essential Services for Homeless Youth, General Assembly of North Carolina enacted.
For what purpose does the gentlelady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher, arise?
To speak on the bill, Mr.
Ladies,
Speaker.
Ladies recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. The public schools in North Carolina identified 2,650 unaccompanied homeless youth enrolled in school in the 2016-17 school year. This was an increase of over 8% from the previous year. In Asheville City Schools, I really did not know this, and let me just say how grateful I am to the folks who brought this to my attention, and also my gratitude to Representative Josh Dobson for joining me in introducing this bill. We have homeless liaisons in every school system because of the McKinney-Vento Act, and in Asheville City Schools, there are 190 students experiencing homelessness, and 26 of those are unaccompanied youth. In the Buncombe County Schools, there are 608 currently homeless, and 889 are unaccompanied, no adult in their lives. And these students are not in foster care. In fact, referrals of these youth to the Department of Social Services do not result in the student being taken into care. Referrals can also result in the youth disappearing from school due to fears of the child welfare's involvement. So just know that unaccompanied youth live in rural and urban areas in North Carolina, and they face grave risks to their health and well-being. And so what this bill would do would be to open up the possibility of their being able to receive health care for something as everyday as a physical exam so that they could play sports in school. It would enable them to receive dental care and optometry care. These are the kinds of things that will keep these children in school. I, again, appreciate the folks who brought this bill to me, and I have to say that a vote for this bill today will really make a very big difference in the lives of many of the youth in North Carolina, and I ask for your support.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Pitt, Representative Murphy, arise?
Ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does the gentlelady yield?
I yield.
She yields.
Thank you for taking the question. I just had a question just under the title, and it has in the second line establishing responsibility, liability, and immunity for healthcare providers. Can you explain what you mean by establishing responsibility?
The idea is that medical professionals who would provide treatment, who would take the responsibility to provide treatment for unaccompanied homeless minors would be immune from suit for providing those services without parental consent.
Follow up.
The gentlelady yield.
I yield.
She yields.
I just want to make sure that, and I'm all for this, obviously. This is, you know, we're trying to help our children out who have no other problems with this. But I just want to make sure that it's not putting a mandate on health care providers to take care of these individuals just like anything else. Because when it says establish responsibility, I just want to make sure we're not saying, okay, now you're responsible for taking care of these individuals.
No, it is not. That is not my understanding.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does the gentlelady yield?
I yield.
She yields.
Within your bill, your definition of unaccompanied homeless minor refers to United States Code. Could you tell me what that United States Code defines a homeless minor as?
Yes. I cannot tell you the exact language, but I can tell you that it refers to a minor who does not have a stable, everyday place to sleep overnight when they come home from school. It is. It can range from anything from where a family was evicted and cannot find housing for everybody altogether. A parent could be ill. The student may have left home due to dangers at home, a danger of extreme conflict in their home, and if the family was homeless prior to the student being, to the parents being incarcerated, that would also qualify them as an unaccompanied youth.
May I pose another question?
Does the young lady yield to another question?
I yield.
She yields.
If a man and wife split up, and they have children, and say she moves in with her mother or her grandmother or someone else, would that child still be classified as homeless under this definition?
You know, I couldn't tell you. I'm not sure how they would be classified, and I'm not really sure how federal law classifies them at all, except that I know that there are all of these different categories of unaccompanied homelessness.
Thank you. Debate the bill.
Representative McNeil, you're recognized to debate the bill.
I'm not necessarily against this. We're dealing with a situation in Randolph County right now where the federal definition of homelessness has caused us a terrible transportation problem within our county schools, because according to the federal definition of homelessness, if a person in the scenario I just made out even moves in with their grandparents or parents, they're classified as homeless, and they have to be transported to their school of origin. So we have people in Randolph County, they're actually transporting students by taxi to other counties because of the federal definition of homelessness. It has cost our county, Randolph County, and I'm sure it's probably costing a lot of you other counties a lot of money. Maybe it just hasn't been brought to your attention. It seems to me that we're using the same definition of homelessness here, and I think we're fixing to do something here that probably has some unintended consequences with this definition. Randolph County is a pretty big county. Liberty is in one corner of my county. So if a woman and her husband split up and she moves in on the other side of my county to Seagrove, and she moves in with her parents, that child is still homeless, and according to federal definition, he has to be taken back to his school of origin, which is Liberty. So, and that's almost an hour drive. I think this is the same definition of homelessness that is causing the problem with transportation in the Randolph County schools, and I'm sure it's causing that problem in your other schools in your counties. You just haven't heard about it yet. So I would appreciate if we look into this, not trying to stop the bill today, but I think it, maybe when it gets to the Senate, another question for the bill sponsor.
Does the gentlelady yield to a question?
I yield.
She yields.
Would you agree to look into this further and possibly refine the definition of homeless that might not correspond to the federal definition?
Thank you for the question. One thing that I did want to bring to your attention and to the members' attention is line 7 on page 2. It says, in order to give effective consent under this section, an unaccompanied homeless minor shall provide to the health care provider acceptable documentation that he or she is an unaccompanied homeless minor. And there is a difference between being unaccompanied by an adult and homeless and being homeless. And I think that Title IX and the federal law goes to great lengths to make that distinction. But you have brought a good point to bear, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. Just to finish up.
You recognize Representative McNeil.
All right. I plan to look in this a little bit further because I do think it's going to have unintended consequences as long as that federal definition stays in there. I don't know, because it's a totally different situation in the transportation issue that we're facing now and the issues you're facing. So that it might not have any unintended consequences, but I just would like to let you know that I'm going to like to look into it a little bit further. Thank you.
Members, upon motion of Representative Bell of Wayne County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a school group from Mount Calvary Christian Academy in Hookerton, North Carolina, in Greene County. Where are you? Right here. Thanks for being here. For what purpose is the gentlelady from Johnston, Representative White, arise?
To speak to the bill.
Ladies recognized.
First of all, I support the bill sponsors. I know that they have, their heart is in the right place. And this is really difficult for me to have to stand up and speak against my good friend's bill. But serving on the school board for 12 years, the last 2 years that I was on the school board, we had a lot of issues in our school system because of the federal definition of homelessness. There's about 12 to 15 criteria points, and it can declare a child homeless if they just decide they don't want to be living with their mom and daddy anymore. And in a situation like that, not only has it caused a huge financial burden on our local school system, but it has caused an increased amount of legal issues because, and in this particular bill, because a child may not be exactly homeless, but if they declare that they don't have that authority there, then they can make decisions about their health, which can be across the board, and it may not just be because they need to get an aspirin for a cold or something like that. It could be life-changing decisions that these unattended youth can make in youth when they are not mature enough to make these decisions. So it is not only a financial issue for the school system, but it has become an extreme legal issue for the school system. And for I appreciate the bill sponsors, and it is, I'm sorry that I have not spoken up before, but it just, I really had to weigh a lot of things. But knowing the experience that I've had on the school board and the experience that I've had as a nurse working in public health, I just have to speak against this bill. I think that we could certainly maybe address it in the future and maybe do some really fine tuning of it, but I don't think it's where we need it to be today. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Eiler, arise?
To see if the bill sponsor will yield to a question.
Does the gentlelady yield to a question?
I yield.
She yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative Fisher. Over here.
Yes.
I am standing up. Thank you. The question that comes to mind about consent in here, I'm not an attorney, and I'm not that familiar with the court system concerning guardianship. Are these people that have not been through the court system and have not been assigned a guardian or anything like that, these are outside that system?
These are unaccompanied youth outside the foster care system. They are going, in many cases, and we heard school counselors, psychologists talk about this in committee, where, by the way, it received unanimous support. They talked about how many of these children don't have a place to sleep every night. They may be couch surfing. They may be sleeping in a car. They have no adult present in their lives. And that's the main idea behind this, is getting them basic health care for children who are not old enough to give consent for health care themselves without an adult.
Speak on the bill.
Representative Allen, you're recognized. Speak on the bill.
Very briefly, I've got concerns because I don't totally understand what's going on here, and I don't want to do anything to burden the school board, but we obviously need to take care of these children. So I'm very torn, but I have to continue thinking about this one.
For what purposes does the gentleman from McDowell, Representative Dobson, arise?
Debate the bill.
Gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, unaccompanied homeless minors transcends the urban-rural divide. A lot of the issues that we deal with down here, that's what it boils down to, whether you're from an urban area or from a rural area. This is not one of those issues. Unaccompanied homeless minors is a real problem throughout this state. Representative Fisher and I have worked on this bill for a while. We've tried to make it through the proper committees, and we have it on the floor today. I'll point your attention to page 2, line 7. The burden of proof is on the homeless minor. They have to prove to get to that's the position that they're in before they can be seen by a provider. And what it says, in order to give effective consent under this section, an unaccompanied homeless minor shall provide to the health care provider acceptable documentation that he or she is an unaccompanied homeless minor. And then the documentation includes a statement documenting such status from a director or designee of a governmental or nonprofit agency that receives public or private funds, a person designated as a local education agency liaison or homeless children and youth pursuant to the statute, a school social worker, a school counselor, an attorney, the unaccompanied homeless minor, and two adults with knowledge of the minor's actual circumstance. So the burden of proof is on the homeless minor to prove that that's the situation that they're in before they can be seen by a health care provider. This is a real problem. This is giving relief to those unaccompanied homeless minors, and I would urge you to support it here today. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Warren, for what purpose do you rise?
To see if Representative Dobson would yield for a question.
Representative Dobson, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields.
Representative Dobson, I wish I had seen this bill in one of the, I just don't serve in any of the committees it went through, and I've got some concerns about it. I really applaud what it's trying to do, but I have some questions about what constitutes health services. What is the minimum? Is there a minimum age for consent in the minor that's involved? And I found the trying to look up the definition of homeless minor referred to in the bill itself. I found that to be very confusing and somewhat vague, and even makes a distinction between youth and minor and youth and child. But my question to you is, if a child or a homeless minor can prove that they're homeless, how are they not at that point picked up and put into some type of federal program or state program that, you know, guardianship or something that takes over them? And I apologize for my ignorance on that.
That's a fair question. I would just say that this bill doesn't address that or the issue of how those children are dealt with, I guess, beyond consent to receive health care. I think that's probably an issue for another bill. This bill only addresses the issue of health care for unaccompanied homeless minors.
Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentlelady from Forsyth, Representative Terry, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Ladies recognize to debate the bill.
I absolutely was going to ask the sponsor, Representative Fisher, a question, but let me say that Representative Dobson answered those questions, and I can only reiterate the point that Representative Dobson made regarding the fact that these children transcend urban, rural, and any other geographic definition that you would give for a child who is unaccompanied by an adult, who is wandering but has no specific place for which to live or lay down at night. But they are a part of the school systems for whatever reason, and it is defined through page 2, lines 7, all the way through to at least line 13, what the categories that describe the situation that do allow and permit the unaccompanied child to have some kind of references within the governmental system that defines their need and the persons who are able to substantiate those needs so that they can be accompanied and get whatever health services that are needed. Otherwise, they are wandering the streets, and there is no entity that looks after their needs regardless. And in fact, many can end up into the correctional system if we don't do things to mitigate whatever the needs are so that they can at least matriculate through the educational system and get their needs met. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, arise?
For a motion, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman may state his motion.
Thank you. I move the previous question.
Members, the motion for previous question is not debatable, so we'll move directly to a vote. The question before the House is the motion for previous question. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed to the motion will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 72 having voted in favor of the motion, 34 against the motion. The motion passes. The majority minority leader will each be given 3 minutes to speak if they so wish. For what purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield my time to Representative Dobson, the bill sponsor.
Representative Dobson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this bill, it's been through committee, it's been vetted, it's been discussed. Had questions here on the floor today. Some of those questions have been answered. I've already made the case that this transcends the urban-rural divide. The burden of proof is on the unaccompanied homeless minor to show that that's the status that they're in. Protections are there for those providing the health care. I would urge your support here today. Thank you.
Does the minority leader wish to debate the bill?
I yield my time to Representative Fisher, who is also a bill sponsor.
Representative Fisher, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I urge your support of this bill. I know that there are questions about the federal law, but this bill today deals with getting care for unaccompanied homeless youth in our schools. I want to give you one example. There was a young lady in a school system where I'm from who needed her wisdom teeth pulled. I mean, how many of us have taken a young person, our child, to the dentist to have their wisdom teeth pulled? It's kind of this rite of passage. This young lady, her mother was missing and presumed dead. And the school had no way of getting consent for this young lady to have her wisdom teeth pulled. so that she could stay in school, so that she could, you know, go about her daily life. So all I'm asking is for us to be able to get care for these kids, dental care, eye care, and a physical if they want to play sports. And that's what this bill would do. You'll be doing a really good thing if we can pass this bill. Thank you, and I appreciate your support.
All right, members, under our rules, those are the only two debates that can happen on this bill at this point, so we will move to a vote on the bill. Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 613 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 94 having voted in the affirmative, 19 in the negative. House Bill 613 passes its second reading and without objection.
Mr. Speaker,
the Representative Rogers rise.
To debate the bill before third reading.
It's got to be read first, Representative Rogers. Hold on 1 second. Clerk will read.
Jones Senator North Carolina acts.
For what purposes is the gentleman from Rutherford, Representative Rogers, arise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman's recognized.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a situation where DSS should be involved, or a court should be involved, or the parent, I know this is about homeless children, or the parents should be involved. Somebody should be involved other than a school counselor, because what this bill does, and I don't have my computer, so I'm just trying to keep up with it on my little phone here, but what this bill does is it allows a school counselor to sign off on mental illness treatment. Now, whichever side of the aisle you're on, that should scare the heck out of you. That a school counselor can sign off on a child without a court being involved, without a parent being involved, going to get mental illness treatment. And whichever side you're on, that should scare the heck out of you. The school counselor should not be able to sign off on this type of treatment without a judge or a parent involved. I ask you to vote against this bill.
For what purpose, the lady from Pitt, Representative Smith, rise.
To debate the bill.
Ladies recognize, debate the bill.
I guess I'm a little shocked because I recall last Thursday, we debated the bill that talked about taking care of our children. And it was about education. And we want to take care of those children that don't have what other people have. And then now I sit and I listen to a debate on not taking care of the children who are the least of these. I listen to the prayers that we have every time we have session, taking care of those who don't have. So now we try to find a way to not take care of the children, and we start looking at a federal definition. This is to take care of health needs. We're not talking about school for transportation and things that would cost more money within the schools. We're talking about health needs of someone who's homeless. I applaud the bill presenters, the sponsors, Fisher and Dobson. Thank you so much for wanting to take care of the children, because when we look at the urban-rural divide in my area, I have several homeless children who have graduated from my area, who have not had parents, who have not had all those things that maybe you and I have had. But to sit and hear my peers talk against taking care of the children, I go back to what Representative Lewis stated. And he heard this from his good friend, Representative Nesbitt, if I'm correct. So to do nothing is worse than having something to deal with it. And we have taken up several bills that we said, would you agree to look into this and make necessary changes? And those bills have passed. What makes this any different? If there's any necessary changes, that can still be done, but this bill needs to pass to take care of the children who are homeless. Thank you so much again to the bill sponsors, and please vote yes for this bill.
Mr. Speaker.
For our purpose, Senator from Cumberland, Representative Floyd Rice.
Will the bill sponsor, rule chair, majority leader, any one of them available?
This is the gentleman from Wayne yields.
Could you
yes, sir.
Third reading, sir, please.
If you put the mic down, I'm prepared.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise?
For a motion, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman's recognized for a motion.
I move to a previous question on third reading.
Gentleman's moved. Previous question, House Bill 613. Question for the House is the adoption of the motion for previous question. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Hall, go ahead. Representative Hall, Representative Quick on the floor. Gentlemen, like to vote. Clerk will opportunity to record the vote. 87, having voted in the affirmative, 27 in the negative. House Bill 630, excuse me, the motion for previous question is adopted. Either the majority minority leader care to? Nope. Seeing none, a question for the House. Passage of House Bill 613 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Pen of the chair. The ayes have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 613, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 620, the clerk will read.
Representatives Zoka, Baumgartner, Hawkins, and Eiler, House Bill 620, a bill to be entitled Street Database Manual Public Record Exempt, General Assembly of North Carolina.
Gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Zoka, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill is considerably slimmed down from the way it was originally filed. As a result of that, it's supported by all the stakeholders, including DOT and the Real Estate Commission, to establish this roads database. DOT has determined they do not need any more funds, so that's not an issue here. What this bill is about, it's the first step in solving a statewide issue commonly known as orphan roads. What that is that sometimes when roads are being tried to be transferred to the Department of Transportation, they either don't meet the DOT's criteria or they've deteriorated to a point where DOT cannot accept them. The impact this has on homeowners who might live on these roads is they can't, or they have great difficulty in then selling their house, because if the road isn't maintained, you have to have a private road agreement, and it gets really complicated really fast. If you're in the residential mortgage lending business, if you're in the real estate business, if you close real estate loans, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm not going to try and go take the next 15 minutes to educate everybody in here about it. Just please take my word for it that it is a serious problem. This is the first step. All the stakeholders agree, and I ask for your vote.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose, gentlemen from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise.
Speak on the bill.
Gentlemen's recognized. Debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this is a good bill, and I plan to vote for it. However, I know you get tired of hearing this, but as much money as we spend on education in this state, we need to lead the way in having our grammar correct in our bills. There are three split infinitives, two in the title and one on lines 28 and 29 in this bill, and I'd like to ask that the Speaker, Principal Clerk, wherever, would see to it that these grammar is corrected in those places in this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion, further debate. Not question for the House. Passage of House Bill 620 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Reeves, gentlemen like to record. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 117, having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 620 passed second reading. Will without objection. Be right there, time.
General Assembly, North Carolina Act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 620 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 620, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Members of the Chair does not intend to break and to proceed on through the calendar. Chair understands 645 is going to have some debate. We're going to go ahead and move past it just a moment and take a few other bills up and then come back to 645. House Bill 651, the clerk will read.
Representatives Talbot and Lewis, House Bill 651, a bill to be entitled an act to adjust license plate agency to rates required of a division of motor vehicle to include commission or contract option with division advertising. General Assembly of North Carolina.
Who's handling this bill? Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, we all are familiar with our LPAs when you go get your documents or whatever, that the long lines and just, it's really a frustrating day. Some of us even have to take days off. One of the reasons we've determined after looking at this is just perhaps there's not enough people there working the lines and working the booths. So what we're seeking here is, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but in 2016, the LPA's got a 3-cent increase on the two fees that they charge. And the one before that goes all the way back to 2001. So what they have brought forward is a slight increase from 130 to 150, collection of highway use tax, removal of emissions, inspection stops, and just the other ones that are listed in the bill. In an effort to hopefully be able to put more people on the line to expedite our business dealings with the LPAs. And I would appreciate a positive vote. I'm aware of no opposition, and it's gone through several committees unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of House Bill 651 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Corbin wishes to vote on the bill. Representative Galliard. Clerk Lop Machine record the vote. 112, having voted in the affirmative, 3 in the negative. House Bill 651 passed the second reading. Will without objection be read a third time?
General Assembly, North Carolina, annexed.
Question before the House, passage of House Bill 651 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 651, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 657, the clerk will read.
Representatives Grange, Jones, Ross, and Ray, House Bill 657, a bill to be entitled an act to clarify the applicability of the motor vehicle dealers and manufacturers licensing law as recreational vehicle dealers and manufacturers. Jones, Sumner, North Carolina,
and
Acts.
And members are permitted to have food on the floor at this time. We've been in session past 2 hours. Lady from New Hanover, Representative Grange, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, currently the Motor Vehicle Dealers and Manufacturers Licensing Law applies to motorized recreational vehicles and not non-motorized recreational vehicles, and this bill would have that law apply to non-motorized recreational vehicles. And I ask for your green vote.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of House Bill 657 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 111, having voted in the affirmative, 1 in the negative. House Bill 657 passed the second reading. Will without objection be read a third time?
General Assembly, North Carolina, enact.
Question before the House, passage of House Bill 657 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 657, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 686, the clerk will read.
Representative Stevens, House Bill 686, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the requirements for certain automatically renewed consumer contracts. General Assembly of North Carolina, enact.
What purpose, gentlemen from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, rise?
To be recorded as an aye on 657.
Gentlemen, be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill 657. Lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Speaker, members, this bill simply brings up to date our automatic renewal extension of contracts. If you have a contract, I have some little old ladies back home who signed up for these fire alarm bills that have fine print that says your contract's automatically extended. What this bill says is it must be conspicuous and obvious, and if the renewal is greater than 60 days, they have to give you written notice that it's going to extend and give you the opportunity and tell you exactly how to cancel it. Ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of House Bill 686 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 116, having voted in the affirmative, none, the negative. House Bill 686 passed the second reading. Will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly is not inclined to enact.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 686 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 686, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 694, the clerk will read.
Representatives Conrad, Montgomery, and Terry. House Bill 694, a bill to be entitled an act to designate certain airports, North Carolina legacy airports. General Assembly of North Carolina, in it.
Lady from Forsyth, Representative Conrad, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill gives direction to the Aviation Division of the Department of Transportation to designate some of our older, more historic airports that have contributed significantly to the development of aviation in this state, the designation of legacy airports. This can be used in branding, economic development, and also leverage for dollars, infrastructure bills from the federal government. It had a lengthy debate in transportation, a lot of good interest, positive interest, and I appreciate your support.
For what purpose, gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett?
Speak on motion, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
It's a good bill. Vote green.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 694 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. If all members wish to vote, Representative Shepherd, Representative Dixon, Representative Smith of Wayne. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 114, having voted in the affirmative, none, the negative. House Bill 694 passed the second reading. Will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly is not inclined to enact.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 694 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 694, having passed third reading, bill will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose, gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore Rice?
To request a vote change. HB 613I, HB 657I.
Gentleman be recorded as voting aye on House Bill 613. And what was the other bill, sir?
657.
And would gentleman be recorded as voting aye on House Bill 657.
Thank
what
you.
Purpose, gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon Rice?
Request to the chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
I change my vote to aye on 613.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill 613. House Bill 777, the clerk will read.
Representatives Belk, Gill, Hurley, and Martin. House Bill 777, a bill to be entitled an act to purchase ops credit for prior year FT services. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from Magdeburg, Representative Belk, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I want to thank my fellow primary sponsors, Representatives Hurley, Gill, and Martin. Colleagues, this genesis came from a concern that a constituent of mine had brought to us. He was an employee of a local government agency in my district. He had worked full-time hours while being a part-time employee for 4.5 years. He was reclassified to full-time in 2015. When he got, he's in his late 50s now and was planning his retirement, and he barely was able to vest in the pension. He went to his employer and asked if he could buy into the pension, and he was told that there was no provision for that. Unfortunately, so what we've tried to do, this bill allows an employee in a qualifying agency, and that's teachers and state employees and local government employees, to be able to buy in. They are designated as part-time, but they work full-time to be able to buy into the pension system. Now, this bill is an annual benefit only, so it can only apply to the immediate previous past year of employment, and so if you have the opportunity as the employee in 30 days after you get notice from your employer that you have worked full-time hours even though you're designated as part-time to buy into that, and you have to do that in a lump sum, and you have 30 days to do that. After the employee chooses to do that, then his employer has 30 days after that to match those funds. We have an actuarial note, and there's no discernible impact on the pension system financing. This got a overwhelmingly favorable vote in pensions and retirement and in rules, and I ask for your green vote. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 777. On second reading, those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Conrad, would the lady like to record on the vote? Clerk White Machine to record the vote. 112, having voted in the affirmative, 3 in the negative. House Bill 777 passes second reading. Will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 777 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 777, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. We're now going to go back up to House Bill 645. The clerk will read.
Representative Sane, Dixon, Jones, and Ray, House Bill 645, a bill to be entitled an act to revise the outdoor advertising laws. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Jump from Lincoln, Representative Sainz, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank the members of the House, particularly those that are offering amendments. All the amendments you see on the dashboard there, members have come and spoke to me on this bill. Many of you know the history of outdoor advertising and trying to strike a compromise, which has taken a number of years to get here. I do believe that talking to all parties, working with the League of Municipalities, DOT, and other interests, that we've gotten to a place where we've gotten a pretty good compromise together. That being said, the amendments that you see that will be coming forth on the bill, I think, should move pretty quickly. It does improve the bill. It does work to build that consensus that we've been working upon, and then hopefully we'll get the bill passed today. So, Mr. Speaker, I will yield, and you do have a number of amendments on the dashboard.
Representative McGrady is recognized. Send forth amendment ABA 16. The clerk will read.
Representative McGrady moves to amend the bill on page 6, line 33, through page 7, line 36, by deleting those lines.
Gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As my colleague, Representative Sane, said, we've been working on some amendments to this bill. I put forward an amendment that would strike the vegetative management portion of the bill, leave law basically as it is now, so that will avoid a debate about dogwoods and red buds and a range of other things that will take us into the evening hours. I appreciate the willingness to work on this and have some compromises, and I urge your support for the amendment.
Gentleman from Lincoln is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just again thank my colleague, Representative McGrady, for the spirit and working with me on this for the duration, and hopefully will save us all a little time today. I urge you to support the amendment.
Representative John, is the gentleman just wanting to send forth his amendment? Okay. Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Following members, Mr. Core, Dobson, Corbin, Sasser, Floyd, Brisson. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 111, having voted in the affirmative, 3 in the negative, Amendment A1 is adopted. Representative Johns recognized, sent forth his amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative John moves to amend the bill on page 8, lines 17 through 19 by rewriting the lines to read.
John is recognized. Debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this amendment simply makes the applicable effective date for the entire bill the date upon which the bill is enacted. Previously, or as it currently is, that portion of Section 7, which applies to the removal of outdoor advertising signs, is some 2.5 years in the past, January 1, 2017. Our courts have consistently rejected attempts to apply rules and procedures adopted on a specific date to retroactively to ongoing actions and claims. This amendment conforms with that principle. I understand the principal bill sponsor has no objection to the amendment, and I commend it to you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? Not question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A2. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative, 3 in the negative. The amendment is adopted. Representative Jackson is recognized to send forth an amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Jackson moves to amend the bill on page 6, line 21 through 22 by inserting the following between those lines.
Gentlemen, recognized. Debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe there was ever any intention in this bill to have anything about digital billboards. However, some people have, because of the past of this bill and how it's gone, some people were worried about that. I asked Representative Sain if he minded me making it very clear that it didn't have anything to do with converting to digital. He had no objection last night in rules, so we drafted this and I shared it with him. I'd ask for your support.
Gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sain, recognize the debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and again, thank you, Representative Jackson, for your work on that. I do urge the body to vote for the amendment.
Gentleman from Henderson, Representative McGrady, recognize the debate the amendment.
Thank you. I also urge us to support the amendment. The difference between this year's bill and last session's bill in part relates to this whole digital issue. This issue really has been taken off the table in all the debate, and Representative Jackson's amendment just simply puts that in writing so that we're not debating digital signs here. It's a good amendment.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A3. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk lock machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The amendment is adopted. Representative Sainz recognized to send forth amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Sainz moves to amend the bill on page 5, line 20, by rewriting the line to read.
Jump from Lincoln is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment comes from really correcting an amendment that we ran last night in rules. Gets the words cleaner, gets more to the point of what we wanted to work on. Representative Howard and I had offered it on her behalf in rules, some concerns from the city of Winston-Salem. Many of you know, Johnny Tillett, who's worked on this issue, he's been working with us the entire time. Make sure that we got the language correct, to get everybody on board and okay with it. So we do have that. This is just technical in nature and getting those words put in there a little better. So thank you very much. Appreciate your support on it.
Jump from Henderson, Representative McGrady, recognize debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment seeks to make sure that when signs get moved, they don't get moved into residential areas. There was some discussion of it in rules last night. I wasn't there, but I too support the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A4. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Jarvis wished to vote on the amendment. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 114, having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative, the amendment is adopted. Representative Harris is recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Harrison moves to amend the bill on page 7, lines 26 through 32, by rewriting those lines to read.
Lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe Representative McGrady's amendment rendered mine redundant, so I'm going to withdraw it. Thank you.
The amendment will be returned to the lady. Representative Smith is recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Smith moves to amend the bill on page 6, lines 32 through 33, by inserting the following between those lines.
Jones recognized, debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment is a friendly amendment, and what it does, it inserts into the language a law that already exists that provides protection around military installations with regard to relocation of public advertisement. So I would ask your support on this amendment.
Jump from Lincoln, Representative Sane, recognize, debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank Representative Smith for coming to me before and just making sure that we do clarify the language and protect those military bases. I urge you to support the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A6. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk lot machine record the vote. 114 have voted the affirmative, 1 the negative. The amendment's adopted. We're now back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate? For what purpose, Jim from Onslow, Representative Shepherd, rise.
Speaker, I made a mistake and punched the wrong button. I should have punched the green button.
Gentleman recorded voting aye on the amendment. For what purpose, the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise.
I'd like to be voted aye on the amendment, Harrison's amendment.
The lady will be recorded as having voted aye on the Harrison. Actually, the Harrison amendment was withdrawn, which... Any other amendment?
The Grady Amendment.
The McGrady Amendment. Okay. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 645 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 77 having voted in the affirmative, 39 the negative. House Bill 645 passes second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 645 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 645 having passed third reading. Be sent to the Senate. House Bill 796. The clerk will read.
Representatives Green, Zoka, Hardister, and Brian Turner, House Bill 796, a bill to maintain an act to require landlords to make reasonable accommodations for persons with disabilities and have medically improved emotional support animals in a dwelling unit. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Chair directs previous bill also be engrossed and sent to the Senate. A couple of recognitions before we get into the bill. First off, on motion of Representative Brewer and Representative Sasser. The chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Matthew Swain of Montgomery County Early College. Where are you, Mr. Swain? Over here on the left. And a group of students there from the Early College. Glad to have y'all with us. Please stand so we can welcome them. Also, chairs informed, we have a school group of students from the Arthur Edwards Elementary School in Craven County. Where are y'all? Y'all would please stand so we could welcome you. Thank you very much. I see in Craven County, your representative is Michael Speciale right here waving to you. Oh, and Representative Kidwell in the back there as well. Lady from New Hanover, Representative Grange, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to yield for a moment for a friendly amendment put forth by Representative Adcock.
We can take that. Lady from Wakes, recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Adcock moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 16, by rewriting the line to read.
Representative Adcock is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative Grange, for taking this friendly amendment that simply seeks to correct an oversight by adding nurse practitioner and physician assistant to the list of those healthcare providers who can provide this verification. Thank you. I urge you to all vote green on the amendment.
The lady from New Hanover desired to debate the amendment.
Yes, recognized. Mr. Speaker. This is a friendly amendment, and I encourage you to vote green.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Corbin, aye. Following members wish to record: Bumgardner, Speciale, Torbett, Brewer, Hawkins, Dobson. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 106, having voted in the affirmative, 4 in the negative, the amendment is adopted. For what purpose, the lady from Wake, Representative Gill, rise.
To change my vote on House Bill 645 to a no.
To which way, ma'am?
To a no.
The lady will be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 645. For what purpose, the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, rise.
The same.
The gentleman no asked to be recorded no on 645.
Thank you. Yes.
The gentleman be recorded. For what purpose, the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Harris, rise.
Change my vote to no on 645.
The gentleman be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 645. What purpose, gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
To record as an aye on 796, Amendment 1.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill 796. For what purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative John, rise?
To be recorded as a no on 645. Thank you.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 645. For what purpose, the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise?
To change my vote on 645 to no.
Lady will be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 645. For what purpose, gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, rise?
I apologize. I'd like to be recorded as aye on House Bill 657.
Gentlemen, will be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill 657. Again, members, I would ask members to pay attention to the votes. As I indicated yesterday, it's not a lot of work for us to do this, but it's a tremendous amount of work for the clerk staff to go back and update this. Some of the bills are being sent over. They're having to literally be brought back. So please try to pay close attention to how you vote when it's actually the vote. For what purpose, gentleman from Pitt, Representative Murphy, rise.
Inquiry of the chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I was wondering maybe in the rules for the next session if we wouldn't make a $5 donation every time somebody changes their rules for the leading charitable cause of the state. Just a thought.
Noted. Lady from New Hanover, Representative Grange, recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In recent years, there have been increasing numbers of stories of airline passengers seeking to circumvent pet restrictions by claiming their animals are emotional support animals. One of the most absurd examples is the airline passenger who claimed his peacock was an emotional support animal and tried boarding the plane with the animal. While these stories are good for a laugh, they also reveal an abuse that goes well beyond the airline industry and one which housing providers are unfortunately all aware of. In the last few years, housing providers across the country have experienced a dramatic increase in requests for emotional support animals, which has allowed the residents to circumvent rules like animal restrictions or breed restrictions. Restrictions, as well as fees like pet deposits and pet rents. Many of these requests come from residents who are using online, out-of-state emotional support animal certification services, which simply charge a flat fee before creating an on-the-spot approval for their animal. Housing providers currently have no ability to verify this documentation or limit their use, something which residents have taken note of and which is driving the huge increase in emotional support animal claims. The inability of providers to create uniform rules and to hold all residents accountable has made apartment communities less safe and has also resulted in the loss of hundreds of thousands of dollars in fees. House Bill 796 will seek to remedy these issues by creating a uniform standard for what an emotional support animal is and how a resident can qualify for their use, as well as creating a reasonable process for landlords to verify these claims and penalizing those who abuse the system. I'm proud to sponsor this bill and look forward to your support. It is supported by the Apartment Association of North Carolina, the North Carolina Realtors Association, and the National Association of Social Workers. There is no known opposition to this bill, and I ask for your green vote.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House. Passage of House Bill 796 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Russell, Representative Adams, do the members wish to record on this vote? Clerk will machine record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, 1 in the negative. House Bill 796 passed the second reading. Will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Senator North Carolina enacts.
What purpose, gentleman from Onslow, Representative Shepherd, rise.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to change my vote on House Bill 645 to a yes.
Jumbo records having voted yes on House Bill 645. Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 796 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 796, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 823, the clerk will read.
Representatives Warren, McGrady, Harrison, and Grange, House Bill 823, a bill to be entitled NC Managing Environmental Waste Act of 2019, General Senator North Carolina enacts.
Mr. Clerk, Chair directs that House Bill 96 be engrossed as well, sent to the Senate. Jump from Rowan, Representative Warren, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill is designed to reduce the volume of non-recyclable, non-compostable waste that the state creates and to improve the efficiencies of the existing disposal programs we utilize. The bill was crafted with and has the support of the stakeholders from DOA, DEQ, DHHS, the North Carolina Beverage Association, and North Carolina Retail Merchants Association. Outside of a single no vote in the Environment Committee, it has passed unanimously in Finance and Rules. I'd like to thank Representative McGrady, Representative Harrison, and Representative Grange for the outstanding work they did on this bill, and also note the fantastic work that staff member Jennifer McGinnis and Kyle Evans contributed to the bill. I appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? For what purpose, gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise.
See if the bill sponsor would answer a question.
Gentleman from Rowan, yield?
No, sir.
He does not yield. Further.
Mr. Speaker, I'll go ahead and yield for him.
He yields.
Just a brief explanation of what the bill does. It wasn't in any of the committees that it was on.
Okay, that's fine, sir. As I said, it is designed to reduce the amount of non-recyclable, non-compostable waste that the state creates throughout the state agencies. It puts absolutely no taxes or fees on any private industry at all.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 823 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Majeed, aye. Representative Faircloth, Jim White, record. Representative Floyd, Representative Garrison. You want to vote? Representative Garrison. Clerk of Lot Machine, record the vote. 115, having voted in the affirmative, 1 in the negative. House Bill 823 passed the second reading. Will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Senator North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 823 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 823, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 870, the clerk will read.
Representative Arp, Tobit, Brody, and Richardson, House Bill 870, a bill to be entitled Act Clarify Statutes of Limitation and Response Applicable to Actions Brought Against Professional Land Surveyors. General Senator North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you. I'd like to thank my co-sponsors, Representative Tobit and Brody and Richardson, on this bill. This bill has been requested by the surveyors and establishes or clarifies, actually, it's always been there, a 3-year statute of limitation and a 7-year statute of repose. This bill responds to a court of appeals where there was an apparent discrepancy in our current law. And what this does is simply bring it in line with the other professionals. I ask for your vote and support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 870 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Mr. Majeed, aye. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote, 105, having voted in the affirmative, 11 in the negative. House Bill 870 passed the second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 870 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 870, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 911, clerk will read.
Representatives Jones and Kyle Hall, House Bill 911, a bill to maintain an active direct the Department of Information Technology to study and assess the threat of foreign technologies in North Carolina state-owned computer systems. General of North Carolina enacted.
Gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, and stay in the good graces of Representative Floyd, I'll bring your attention. This is a study bill. It's an act to direct the Department of Information Technology to study and assess the threat of foreign technologies in North Carolina state-owned computers with a reporting date of March 1st, 2020. Again, this is just a study bill. We appreciate your green vote.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 911 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative McNeil, Representative Arp, members like to record. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 116, having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 911 passed second reading. Will without objection. You read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 911 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 911, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 922, the clerk will read.
Representatives Lewis and Arp, House Bill 922, a bill to be entitled an act to clarify that properties subject to vacation and rental are also subject to the general statutes governing the city and county enforcement of hazardous and unlawful conditions. General Senator North Carolina.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this bill just clarifies that properties that fall under the Vacation Rental Act are also subject to other statutes that we have governing city, county enforcement of hazardous and unlawful conditions. Some have argued that because of the Vacation Rental Act having its own statutory scheme, that properties that fall under that don't fall under the other regulatory statutes. I don't know of any opposition to the bill. I appreciate your support.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Brunswick, Representative Isler, rise.
A question is the bill sponsor, please.
Gentleman from Caldwell, yield to the gentleman from Brunswick.
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative. My only concern, I don't think I've seen this bill. The only concern is this putting additional responsibility on the rental agent or is just on the property owner?
Representative Eiler, this is really a clarification of existing law, and most folks believe that the law is already as this bill would clarify. It's just that because the Vacation Rental Act has its own statutory scheme, some have argued that the intent of the General Assembly at that point was that those properties falling under that act don't have to cooperate with other rules that a city or a county may enforce. So it's not really changing, it's just clarifying what the existing law is.
Additional question, Mr. Speaker? Additional question?
Gentleman yield?
I yield.
Yields.
So the answer I was looking for, in more simple terms possibly, is this is no additional responsibility on the rental agent. This is all to clarify the property owner's responsibility.
I believe that to be right, yes.
Okay. What purpose, gentlemen from Haywood, Representative Queen, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Gentleman from Caldwell, yield to the gentleman from Haywood.
Yeah, I yield.
He yields.
I'm not followed this bill so far, so this is the first I've looked at it. But I know there is a lot of little camper trailers, things like this, and vacation rentals. There's tents. I'm an architect. I know there's certain rules and regulations that apply in general to all constructions and rental properties and so forth that wouldn't necessarily apply to these categories of vacation rentals. Is there any way to, I can just imagine the local inspectors closing down RV parks and tent campgrounds and things like that that aren't
meeting any building codes or other regulations that they try to enforce on housing.
So if I understand the question correctly, this doesn't change the definition of what falls under the Vacation Rental Act, which I think is mainly what your question gets to. And again, this really doesn't change the current practice in most jurisdictions. It's just that a limited number of folks have argued that they don't have to cooperate with other statutes. Again, most jurisdictions already believe that those properties under the Vacation Rental Act are subject to the laws that this bill clarifies they are subject to.
Follow-up question.
Gentlemen, yield to additional inquiry.
I'm just wondering, yes, there's some reasons that they wouldn't be applicable to these types of vacation rentals, the other laws. I'm just wondering, I mean, they're not the same in gross, so if they have to follow all the regulations of regular housing, that seems to open up a whole new can of worms to me.
I don't think so, because I think your understanding of it is that somehow this is changing what might fall under the Vacation Rental Act, and this doesn't have anything to do with properties that are already under the Vacation Rental Act. And again, as I'm told, this is what most jurisdictions are already doing. This is just a clarification of what they're doing.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? Not. The question for the House passes of House Bill 922 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Majeed, Representative Lofton, Representative Davis, members wish to record. Clerk will lot machine record the vote. 115 have voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 922 passed the second reading. Will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly's no claim in that.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 922 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 922, having passed third reading, be sent to the Senate. House Bill 530, the clerk will read.
Representatives Richardson and Lucas, House Bill 530, a bill to be entitled an act to adopt the Fayetteville Dogwood Festival as the official Dogwood Festival of the state of North Carolina. General Assembly of North Carolina, in act.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, the passage of House Bill 530 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Shepard, Representative Riddell, Representative Jones. Members wish to record. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 530 passed the second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly, no claim in that.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 530 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 530 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 647, the clerk will read.
Representatives Queen and Presnell, House Bill 647, a bill to be entitled an act adopting Haywood County as the elk capital of the state of North Carolina. General Assembly of North Carolina, an act.
Gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, recognize, debate the bill.
This bill does just what the title says. Haywood County has been the site of restoring the great elk to North Carolina. In 2003, we brought in, I think, 52. We have well over 200 now, and they're calving as we speak. So we would appreciate the designation for Haywood County. Representative Presnell and I both represent Haywood County. They're locally behind it, and we'd love your support. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 647 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record a vote. 115 haven't voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 647 passed second reading. Will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina in act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 647 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. House Bill 647, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Mr. Clerk, Chair directs that Senate Bill 605 and Senate Bill 359 be removed from today's calendar, calendar for next Wednesday, May the 15th. Members, for your planning purposes, we have disposed of our business for the day. We will not be taking any votes tomorrow or Thursday. There will be a non-voting session on Thursday. There will be a non-voting session Monday and Tuesday. There will be voting sessions Wednesday and Thursday of next week. We're able to do this because we got through our business that had to happen. Two bills that were removed from today's calendar, of course, are Senate bills not subject to crossover that we can easily dispose of next week. So that's the order of business today. We have a few other administrative matters, but we can do those upon adjournment. So at this time, I do want to do a few recognitions first. On motion of the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative McGee, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to folks here from the North Carolina Second Chance Alliance. I think they may have actually left. I saw them, but then I think they may have left. So they were here with us earlier. And we have had a number of school groups coming in and out today. So certainly want to be appreciative of those folks who've come. Notices and announcements. For what purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members on We Will Not Caucus today. Look for an email for next week, but no caucus today. Thank you.
What purpose, gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman's recognized for an announcement.
Members, the dress for the farm tour next Tuesday will be casual and comfortable.
And members, just a moment. The House will come back to order. Representative Fraley has a representative statement. The chair is going to have read a memorial statement. Would ask the body to please give your attention to that. The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Mr. Speaker, having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I would like to be recognized to read it on the floor and request it be spread across the journal.
The gentleman is recognized and permitted to do so.
Whereas Jordan Harris Sheldon, a resident of Mooresville, North Carolina, was a dedicated law enforcement officer for the Mooresville Police Department for 6 years, and whereas Officer Sheldon was a canine officer who partnered Ramon and was a member of the Mooresville Police Department Special Response Team Division, and whereas on May 4th, 2019, Officer Sheldon was shot during a routine traffic stop and later died from his injuries. Now, therefore, Jordan Harris Sheldon deserves to be honored for his dedication and service to law enforcement. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And it'll also be read at the end by the clerk and spread upon the journal as well. For what purpose does the lady from Wilson, Representative Farmer Butterfield, rise?
For an announcement.
The lady has the floor for an announcement.
Members, Teacher Appreciation Week is every week. However, in North Carolina, May 6th through 10th is officially designated as Teacher Appreciation Week. Merchants and businesses across the state are offering tokens of appreciation either free or at a discounted rate. So please join me in thanking our teachers for all they do on behalf of our children. And I ask that all current teachers who are on leave and all former teachers please stand. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise?
For a moment of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, the upcoming weekend will usher in officially graduation season for our colleges and universities. I'm proud to say that my wife and I
will have the pleasure of having two grandchildren who will be among those who will be graduating from college this year. And as the religious expression goes, as these retire, let others come. So in a few weeks, we'll have two to replace them who are graduating from high school and will be entering into the university system here in our state. I guess that kind of dates me, because those last two who will be entering into the university system, there are some folk who will know and recognize such as Representative Howard, Representative Setzer, and Representative Insko will know that their births were announced on this floor as I served. So I guess that's somewhat nostalgic, and it's sentimental. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
Inquiry of the chair, Mr. Speaker. The
gentleman is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, you mentioned the calendar for next week, but you didn't give us a time for Wednesday.
At this point, the chair would assume probably a Wednesday session in the after around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. At this point, there may be committees Wednesday morning.
Mr. Speaker, I hate to ask this question, but I want to see if the rules chair will yield for
Gentleman
a question.
Gentleman Harnett, yield.
I yield.
He yields.
Mr. Chair, do you think we'll meet Monday?
I can answer that question. Oh, you're talking about Rules Committee.
Yes.
Representative Floyd, I do not anticipate the Committee on Rules will meet on Monday.
About Mr. Chair.
That was recognized.
Mr. Chair, I don't care what they say about you. You okay?
For what purpose, gentlemen from...
Mr. Speaker, would the gentleman from Cumberland yield?
Gentleman from Cumberland yield to the gentleman from Harnett. He yields.
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Could you just call me next time? And
For what purpose, gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
There will be no Freedom Caucus meeting this Monday.
Any further notices or announcements? Not again. By reminder, no vote, no session tomorrow, no vote session on Thursday, no votes Monday or Tuesday. We are planning votes Wednesday and Thursday of next week. Seeing no further notices or announcements, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn to reconvene on Thursday, May 9th at 10 o'clock a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1 and in honor and memory of Officer Jordan Harris Sheldon.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Fraley, that the House now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, May 9th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1 in honor and in memory of Officer Jordan Harris Sheldon of Mooresville. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned.
Reading of a representative statement honoring Jordan Harris Sheldon, fallen police officer, whereas Jordan Harris Sheldon, a resident of Mooresville, North Carolina, was a dedicated law enforcement officer of the Mooresville Police Department for 6 years, and whereas Officer Sheldon was a canine officer who partnered Raymond and was a member of the Mooresville Police Department Special Response Team Division, and whereas on May 4th, 2019, Officer Sheldon was shot during a routine traffic stop and shot and later died from his injuries, and now therefore Jordan Harris Sheldon deserves to be honored for his dedication and service to law enforcement. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on this 7th day of May, 2019, submitted by Representative John Fraley, signed House Principal Clerk James White. The following bills are special messages from the Senate. They are read a first time and referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Senate Bill 212, Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act requiring the Department of Health and Human Services to postpone deployment of the North Carolina Families Accessing Services through Technology NCFAST system as related to case management functionality for the Child Welfare System and Aging and Adult Services programs. Senate Bill 310, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act removing restrictions prohibiting electric membership corporations and their subsidiaries from seeking federal grant funds to provide telecommunications and broadband services, authorizing such corporations and their wholly owned subsidiaries to use easements held by the corporations to supply telecommunications and broadband services, and providing for the manner in which claims related to the expanded use of easements by such corporations shall be resolved. Senate Bill 316, Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to direct certain municipalities to report to the General Assembly on local government funding subsidies and activities related to affordable housing. Senate Bill 321, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to permit the use of a face mask while operating a motorcycle. Senate Bill 327, Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to increase the punishment for committing larceny of timber. Senate Bill 352, First Edition, a bill to be entitled an act revising the North Carolina Controlled Substances Act. Senate Bill 364, Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to enact the North Carolina Receivership Act, repeal assignments for the benefit of creditor statutes, and make an action for the appointment of a general receiver for certain debtors and a mandatory complex business case as recommended by the North Carolina Bar Association. Senate Bill 374, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to eliminate the Option 4 and Option 6 retirement optional allowances under the Teachers and State Employees Retirement System and the Local Government Employees Retirement System. Senate Bill 413, a bill to be entitled an act to make certain modifications to the general statutes in order to facilitate implementation of the legislation known as Raise the Age. Senate Bill 420, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to enact the North Carolina Service Members Civil Relief Act and to clarify that no member of the North Carolina National Guard shall be forced to use any vacation or other leave from his or her civilian employment for a period of active service. Senate Bill 438, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to modify the implementation of the North Carolina Read to Achieve program in order to attain statewide reading proficiency by the third grade. Senate Bill 444, a bill to be entitled an act allowing food establishments to repurpose oyster shells as serving dishes. Senate Bill 458, a bill to be entitled an act designating Post-Traumatic Stress Injury Awareness Day in North Carolina and establishing a joint legislative task force on sudden cardiac arrest SCA in student athletes. Senate Bill 466, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to modify certain provisions concerning economic development partnerships in North Carolina. Senate Bill 556, First Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to update statutes relating to the provision of services with people first language by changing the phrase mental retardation with intellectual disability or intellectual or other developmental disability and to make further people first language technical and clarifying amendments in those statutes as recommended by the General Statutes Commission. Senate Bill 559, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to permit financing for certain storm recovery costs and to authorize the Utilities Commission to fix rates for electric public utilities using multi-year rate plan and banding of authorized return mechanisms. Senate Bill 600, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act providing that children of wartime veterans receiving a class 1A, 1B, or 1V scholarship may use those funds to cover the costs of short-term workforce training courses leading to industry credentials. On motion of the chair, Senate Bill 5. Short title, Building North Carolina's Future, is withdrawn from the Committee on Education K-12. And recommitted to the Committee on Rules. The SEER referrals to Pensions, Appropriations, Finance, and the first referral to Rules are stricken. On motion of the Chair, Senate Bill 95, short title of Veterans Memorial Funds Do Not Revert, is withdrawn from the Committee on Energy. Recommitted to the Committee on Rules. The SEER referrals to Appropriations, General Government, and to Appropriations Full Committee are stricken. On motion of the Chair, Senate Bill 11, short title ABC, Regulation and Reform. The bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and recommitted to the Committee on Rules. On motion of the chair, Senate Bill 68, short title, Relocation of Water Sewer Lines Costs, is withdrawn from the Committee on Transportation and recommitted to the Committee on Rules. Sewer referral to Energy and Public Utilities is thusly stricken. Senate Bill 61, short title, Guardian Parent Authorized Plate. This bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Transportation and recommitted to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.